much about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
We as black people, it's time. It's time for us to come together.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And how often have you used it?
Why waste time? Say lot word when few word do trek.
Kevin, I appreciate what you're trying to do.
Kevin, shut up. Kevin, shut up. God damn it.
By the way, where is, what's your name, Sarah?
What are you doing for the Latino community today?
I might have tacos when I go home. I'm not quite sure yet.
And now.
I never have been so disgusted by two men's behavior.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Tuesday morning, the 19th of November.
What's crackling, you guys? What's happening? What's up? What's new?
You know, just hanging like we do.
Sure.
Gorilla pimping.
Speaking of gorillas, I got a monkey story to get us started today.
All right.
India has a lot in common with the Kevin and Bean Show. We both have a severe monkey problem, but theirs may even be more dangerous than ours. We've heard these stories from time to time about the nonsense that monkeys get into, and I don't know why. Is there some sort of a religious reason that they don't just round up all the monkeys and get them off the streets?
I don't know. I don't think it's like cattle, is it?
I don't think so either, yeah. But we've heard lots of stories about how they have a monkey problem. In fact, in New Delhi, the deputy mayor was killed a few years ago when he was knocked from his balcony by a group of monkeys. So it's dangerous. I mean, they steal food, they roam through government buildings, they chew internet and power cables, they bite people, they break into people's homes. I mean, it's a monkey menace.
I saw the monkey menace at the Troub last night.
By the way, Chip, if you're still looking for a name for your band, the monkey menace is pretty strong. Well, they've got a new problem. They recently, for some reason, and it is, as always, I always complain about the articles I read, do not give enough information. For some reason, they recently banned the use and trade of langur monkeys in India. Now, those were the big, big monkeys that they were using to scare away the other monkeys that they have so many of. The rhesus macaques and the bonder monkeys are all over New Delhi. So okay. They had been using this langur monkey. So I guess must be some sort of natural, predator for them, or the little monkeys are afraid of them, so they scatter, something like that. Well, for some reason, India doesn't allow the use of the langur monkeys anymore. So now they got a real problem. So what they've done is they've hired a new team whose job it is to catch and sterilize as many monkeys as possible.
Okay.
And the ones that they can't catch, they're putting birth control in food and leaving it out for the monkeys.
Hmm.
Imagine if your job today was to get up and go out and try to catch monkeys so you could give them vasectomies.
That's awesome.
That is somebody's job.
Yes.
That's what he does for a living. He gets up again today, and it's an average Tuesday just like it is, and he goes, well, I guess I got to go out and catch some monkeys today.
Off to work. Good luck, honey.
Is that the case? I mean, look, I know there are a lot of strange jobs in the world, but that's got to be one of the craziest ones, right?
I would think so, yeah.
We got to get some birth control into these goddamn monkeys. I know the world is getting smaller all the time, but there are still some things that I just can't imagine living with as a fact of life. I mean, we get pretty used to the way things are here in the United States. I just can't imagine what it must be like to live in New Delhi and have a serious concern about a monkey attacking you or stealing your food or breaking into your house, pooping on your car. I mean, it's an insane way to live.
Monkeys poop on your car?
Well, or whatever they do, whatever kind of nonsense, their damage they do, yeah.
I wish we had monkey problems here. I love monkeys.
Really? Yeah. I think you need to go to India on vacation.
I'm a monkey fan.
How fun would it be for you to go someplace where there are monkeys just everywhere?
Yeah, good point.
Right?
That'd be good times. I'd have to live there. I'd have to stay there forever.
Maybe that's your next gig, is being one of these guys who gives birth control to monkeys.
A monkey wrangler.
Right.
I like it.
There you go.
I'm in. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Well, I've heard all the facts, and it's pretty obvious what I have to do. Get a big old mug of hot chocolate, put on my thinking PJs, and get back to you.
All right. Today, on the program, we have Andy Samberg talking about Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I love him, and I love it.
Very excited about that. We have Lou Ferrigno in the studio. Used to be the Incredible Hulk on TV. Mm-hmm. You fell asleep at work. We're going to take your calls in the 7 o'clock hour.
I'm sure, Mugs, wake up.
I'm sure we've got plenty of people because I know, you know, you got Mugs, but you also have Dave the King of Mexico. And he sleeps probably, I'd say on average, about 40% during the show. That's when he catches up on his rest.
Well, because he has a very busy social life. He's got things to do at night. He can't go to bed early.
We have, thanks for that tweet, Bean, on the program today.
Oh, come on.
Well, don't say, oh, come on to us. Oh, come on to you. Dan Bova will be on the program. He, of course, is the editor of Maxim, and then we're going to talk about the Maxim Holiday Gift Guide on today's show. And we've got your tickets to see Pearl Jam as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:50.
Hey, just announced on yesterday morning's show, the floodgates are open for you to apply to be Miss Double December 2014. Well, not you, Beer Mug, although you are getting pretty close. You can go to KROQ.com right now and sign up. You must be 21 or over. Complete your submission. Send in a couple of photos of yourself. The Miss Double December crowning will be happening on Friday, December the 13th. Once again, our friends at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton are going to be hosting us. So that's the live show where you win the prize, win your crown. But from now on, you just got to get to the website. And I think, what, a week from tomorrow, I think, is when the is when we close this submission.
That's correct.
Right? Yep. All right. Details at KROQ.com if you want to be Miss Double D 2014. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Slide by Rock and Roll Kitchen.
Sure.
It's their new jingle.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
did they realize that?
I'm trying to sell them on it. See if I can work a couple extra bucks on the side there. Writing some jingles.
Slide by Rock and Roll Kitchen.
Maybe we can get the Monkey Menace to record it for you. That'd be great.
Let's take a look at the new releases today because it is Tuesday on CD. You can get Best of Nickelback.
Yeah!
Volume 1.
What?
Yeah, so much good stuff. They're releasing several volumes of the Best of Nickelback.
See, you guys accuse me of buying everything.
Yeah.
Here's one I won't be buying.
You're not going to pick that up?
Yeah, but
I don't believe so.
That's because you own all of their other CDs with those songs on them. True or not true?
Completely untrue.
Oh, you have all of
Nickelback has never had any interest for me.
You have everything Nickelback ever recorded. You have Nickelback Anthology, the early outtakes and early studio versions of many of their songs. Shangri-La by Jake Bugg.
That I'll buy. I love him.
Got nothing. Got
British singer songwriter is the second album. Just really, really talented.
No Jake Bugg thing here. DVDs, Two Guns.
Was
Denzel
that good?
Washington and Mark Wahlberg. I did not get a chance to see that.
I didn't either.
Paula Patton is in it.
Ooh.
Robin Thicke's wife. Planes, starring Dane Cook as the animated film. The World's End, with our buddy Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Martin Freeman also stars. We're the Millers, Jennifer Aniston and Jason Sudeikis. Paranoia, with Gary Oldman and Harrison Ford. And The To-Do List, starring Aubrey Plaza. You can pick that up as well. TV shows on DVD. Tremé, the complete third season. And Lost Girl Season 3, also available on DVD for you to check out and pick up. Congratulations to the Church of Scientology. They just opened their new flag building in Clearwater, Florida on Sunday. On hand for the dedication, Tom Cruise, John Travolta, Kelly Preston. A huge building, reportedly cost $145 million to build.
Wow.
Scientology leader David Miscavige rolled out his new program at the building. He announced the new Scientology Superpower Program.
Ooh, tell me about
Superpower
this.
Superpower Program.
Yes.
All right.
If you join Scientology, you will get superpowers.
Does he say which ones?
Well, he does. He said that the new program is designed to give Scientology recruits new skills, new abilities, and they will be able to perceive and be aware on new levels before... Now, never quite attained.
Okay.
Here's quote, it'll position Scientologists to lead the world out of social decay and save mankind.
Well, that sounds good.
That does sound good.
John Travolta came out in a cape.
Did he?
Yes, no. Just a cape. He was getting a massage. He says, what? Where? So weird. Yeah, that happened. 145 mil spent on that, so that happened.
I know people want us, Scientologists want us to take it seriously, like
yes.
All other religions, but the Pope's not coming out today and going, okay, new plan.
Yeah. I will have a cross on your head, and then you will get some superpowers, and you will save mankind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
We'll have to see what happens there.
Hey, Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, the Broadway musical, is closing. New York has run out of actors.
Really?
They've killed them
killed
all.
Killed too many?
Killed all the actors. The it's the most expensive musical on Broadway, reportedly costing close to $1 million to produce each week.
Wow.
That's expensive.
Did they end up making money, or?
They did pretty well.
Yeah.
The revenues for the show are about the same amount, about $1 million per week. So they're basically breaking even. They think they might be better off if they take the show on the road, close it on Broadway, take it on the road where expenses are a little bit more manageable. They might make more money that way. But actually, it did pretty well for itself.
All right.
I heard it's going to open in Las Vegas.
You know what? That's a great idea. I hadn't heard that, but that would be a perfect place for it because they could do a truncated version, edit it down to 90 minutes, and then make that big Vegas money. Book of Mormon, by the way, still just crushing it, just as a side with the Broadway news. $1.7 million it made just this week. It is the number wow. one grossing Broadway musical on Broadway right now. So good for those guys. What's it, Tratt and May?
Tratt and May is what I understand they're called.
No, May and Tratt.
May and Tratt. What am I trying to say here, Kevin? Do we have that moment with Bean? I always think of that whenever I think of Book of Mormon. I just love to hear
it. We were talking to Tim Minchin on the phone.
That's right. Another who did Matilda, of course. He did the music for that Broadway musical.
And this happened.
And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Tratt, Tratt and May, rather, when they, what am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey. Yeah.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's this call is like Tratt and May from now on.
That was a moment with Bean.
Let's call him Tratt and May from now on.
It is funny to think that our friends Tratt and May would be ridiculously wealthy today if they had never invented South Park.
Yeah.
Just from this show.
Yeah, true.
Well, I think one leads to another. I don't know if they would have a chance to do the show if it wasn't for South Park. But
it's just crazy that this, you know, this far into their show business career, they've come up with something else that's such a huge winner.
I heard they're working on another Broadway musical. Who can blame them?
Yeah, no kidding. And by the way, it's a pretty weird thing for your first effort to be this successful.
Right.
It's one of the biggest Broadway musicals in modern times.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. You know what else is crazy? Suckers Apparel, a new clothing line. A clothing company is creating a new line. Again, the company's name is Suckers Apparel. They are creating a line of clothing inspired by Twin Peaks.
Timely as today's headlines.
Why so soon, we're all asking.
When was that series? 91?
The early 90s.
1991?
Yeah. It pays homage to the David Lynch classic TV series, which I love, but I just can't imagine releasing a line of merchandise now for Twin Peaks.
Yeah, that's weird.
Too soon.
You can get your long red fire walk with me dress, ladies. A mm-hmm. sexy black welcome to Twin Peaks dress. A black and red tartan, which is like a Scottish, you know, plaid. A smoking in the girls' room dress. You can get the log lady dress with logs all over it.
Sure.
You can get the Who Killed Laura Palmer stockings.
Well, everyone is still asking that question.
They sure are. Prices range from $70 to $190 you can check out.
Oh, so at least they're very expensive.
They're very, very expensive.
That's bullshit.
For a show that's over 20 years old. So.
I think it's a good idea, personally. Damn fine cup of coffee, Coop.
I'm holding out for the Northern Exposure line of
good
outfits.
For you.
That's the one I'm hoping for
good
any day
fight
now.
Fight the good fight, Bean. Today's celebrity birthdays, Larry King, legendary talk show host. He is 80 years old today.
Yay!
He's terrific.
Actress Allison Janney is 54. I love Allison Janney, but if she tells me more about hugs and walking in those health insurance commercials, I'm going to take somebody's life.
Who's?
Probably
whoever's
hers.
Around you.
Maybe hers.
All right.
Matt Sorum of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 53. Actress Meg Ryan is 52. Actress Jodie Foster celebrates her 51st birthday. King of the Supercross, Jeremy McGrath, is 42. And Jack Dorsey is 37 years old today. Does that name sound familiar to you?
Yeah,
Jack
but why?
Dorsey?
Isn't he one of the co-founders of Twitter?
Co-founded Twitter.
Oh, no kidding.
He was the man who sent the first ever tweet, which was, just setting up my Twitter.
Okay.
That was his first tweet.
Second one was, wait until people start buying stock.
Boy.
And get wiped
out.
We're
going to milk those suckers.
Well, he cost me $1,000 already, I'll tell you that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Now, a few minutes ago, I was telling you go to KROQ.com to sign up to be Miss Double December 2014. But if you're not a hot chick with big boobs, here's something for you. We are doing 10 ultimate KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas experiences, raising money to help the folks in the Philippines who were victims of the typhoon there. So what we've done is we've taken a bunch of tickets for each night of the KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas with lots of great perks, including backstage access, including introducing a band on stage, and we put them up for auction to try to raise some money for the people who need it, and you can do that at KROQ.com. That's available right now.
Check that out. I don't know if you saw Bat Kid over the weekend.
Yes, I did.
In San Francisco.
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
It was one of those stories that you are so surprised that so – look, most stories that make the news are for bad things. And every once in a while you'll see a story of one person doing a nice thing or two people doing a nice thing. This was an entire city turning out to do a nice thing for a kid. And it was amazing. I can't even imagine what it was like for that little kid. Explain what was going on, like why the people turned out for him.
Well, Miles Scott is the kid's name. He's a five-year-old whose leukemia is in remission. And the Make-A-Wish Foundation sponsored a comic book fan to dress up as Bat Kid and fight crime around San Francisco. So then they also put out the word, like, we need people to cheer. We need a full-size Batman. We need everything so that this little kid can live his dream. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people showed up.
Thousands and thousands, thousands of people showed up.
And
it's crazy.
And they set up this little thing, and Batman was there, and he showed up, and Bat Kid was kind of living out his dream because of Make-A-Wish Foundation. And it was just unbelievable. Yeah.
So they would contact Bat Kid, and they would go, hey, somebody's trying to break into the bank. So he would run over to the bank, and they would have the whole thing set up as if somebody were actually robbing the bank, and he would be the one who would be able to foil the crook. So everybody, I mean, everybody had a tear in their eye when this story happened, because little Bat Kid, I mean, it was just an inspiration. He's just the cutest little kid, and, you know, fingers crossed it all works out for him. The Make-A-Wish people said they've been doing this for decades. They've never had a turnout like this. So what's not to like about it? How can anyone complain about the beautiful day that Bat Kid had, right? Well, we've got
the answer, yeah. Unfortunately, we got a complaint yesterday from, you remember Bat Boy?
Yeah.
From the, what was it, from the Weekly World News. That's where we first heard about Bat Boy. He's a bat, he's a boy. Listen to this.
Bat Boy, 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 Bat Boy.
He's a bat.
Bat.
He's a boy.
Boy, we haven't talked to you in years. What's going on, buddy?
That's why.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, how are you guys?
We're good. It's been a while. How have you been?
How have you been?
He is back, ladies and gentlemen. So, Bat Boy, we've been told you left a message for us that you were unhappy with the coverage that Bat Kid was getting, and I've been racking my brain all night trying to figure out what you could possibly not like about this story.
Well, first of all, long time no talk, guys. What the hell? We used to talk like every week, and then no more phone calls, no more letters, nothing.
I think when the Weekly World News went under, that magazine, apparently, they're the only ones that were covering you. So we lost out our line of information about you.
Well, for those who didn't hear your amazing setup.
It was a
good
setup. Thank you.
I used to be very popular. I am half boy, half bat. I was found in a cave.
Right.
Originally, I was a freak. And then I started, working for the government, taking out, Osama bin Laden and things like that.
Well, you were looking for Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, I took him out pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
And now I see this kid getting all the news. Bat Kid. Oh, Bat Kid here, Bat Kid there. What about me? What about Bat Boy? How about a little love for Bat Boy?
Well, Bat Boy, he's a little five-year-old with leukemia. People just were happy to see him have...
Hey, first of all, in remission, okay?
Right? Okay, so?
He had leukemia. Apparently
right.
He's healthier than we are right now, apparently. He's running around San Francisco. See, that kid's in great shape. He ran for like 2 days around San Francisco.
He's been sick, though, since he was 18 months old. He's gone through all sorts of hell with medical testing and chemo and everything else. Look, it's a miracle he's even alive.
Half bat, half boy.
Right.
What's more sick than that? I'm a freak. But I live in a cave with dripping water.
So it would
sleep hanging upside down.
So you, I would think you would be able to appreciate the attention that this kid is getting and what it what kind of a difference it makes for him.
I think I would have appreciated a little attention.
Right.
Why don't you turn San Francisco into Gotham City for me, the freak half bat half boy? I would have enjoyed a little love from the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Look, you're not a sick kid. He is a little tiny sick kid. You're fine. You can take care of yourself. You go to outer space. You hang out with, I remember when you used to hang out with Hillary Clinton. You
yeah,
just do it all.
Yeah. Michael Jackson, we hang out all the time.
That's right.
But the point is, I wouldn't have been nice if they did something for me like that. Why don't you have the penguin, take the mascot from the Giants and I rescue him. Everybody applauds for me. I get to drive around in a Lambo all day long.
I think you don't have the appeal of a five-year-old. I think a lot of people see that five-year-old and they say that's a cute little kid.
But look at these hideously grotesque ears and the giant bug eyes I have.
I know. It kind of scares people off, I think, maybe. Plus, that sound.
Oh, so it says Make-A-Wish Foundation for the pretty kids. Is that how it is?
This is just very disappointing that this is what it takes after all these years for you to contact the show is just to bitch about a little kid having a nice day.
I'm just saying, first of all, save the wishes for the real sick kids, not the kids who used to be
sick.
Come
on, that boy.
Just mean.
There's genuine dying kids who could use something right now.
Okay.
And second of all, the Make-A-Wish Foundation has done a lot less for a lot less. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I deserve a little attention. Look, they put Kevin on the radio and told him he was a DJ, for God's sake. And then he got better, and you see what happens? He's still on the air.
Kevin is the most successful Make-A-Wish program ever.
I know. That's what happens when you make wishes come true for healthy kids. They don't give up the wish.
Come on now.
Now this kid's going to be running around San Francisco fighting crime for the rest of his life.
I think it was just a day of a great day for the kid that he'll remember forever, probably.
I'm going to take him out.
I don't think anybody needs to take him out.
I'm going to swoop down and grab that little five-year-old kid and drop him in the bay.
Well, that's a terrible idea, Batboy.
That's my wish come true.
TV's Incredible Hulk and one of Hollywood's nicest guys, Lou Ferrigno, joins us later on this morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Plus, we'll catch up with Andy Samberg. I was thinking about Andy. A lot of those people leave Saturday Night Live. They think, I've had enough of this nonsense. I'm going to go off and make it on my own. And you never hear from them again.
Yeah, most.
Looking at you, Chris Kattan. Andy Samberg's got that Brooklyn Nine-Nine, though. That's a huge hit. So we'll talk to Andy about that. That's coming up this morning, too. Plus your Pearl Jam tickets for this weekend at the Sports Arena.
First, it's time for...
That's that
tweet.
Beam!
How dare you? Why is this necessary?
How dare us? How dare you?
Why is it necessary? That's my point.
Hell?
At what point do you stop tweeting garbage?
Here's the
thing. I don't know what you're talking about.
We'll give you some examples in one second. Here's the thing, though. Ralph tries, I try, most of you try, to be somewhat interesting, somewhat funny, whatever, informational, whatever.
Topical.
Topical, whatever. But your intent is for people to like what you're tweeting. Bean doesn't have that.
Nope.
He doesn't have any interest in people enjoying his tweets.
I stand by my tweets.
For Bean, tweeting is masturbation 140 characters at a time.
That's correct.
All it is. It's just self-pleasure.
That's correct.
How dare
That's
you?
That's all it is.
And we may fail, but at least we're trying. So it's time for...
That's that
tweet.
Bean!
Well, at least Bean tries to stay topical when he tweets.
Thank you, Ralph.
Come back to us, Billy Ocean. All is forgiven.
Okay,
so that tweet.
Bean.
That happened.
I'm listening to a Billy Ocean record the other day, and I'm thinking, where did he go? Like, what happened? How did we lose Billy Ocean?
Okay,
isn't it time for him to return?
I have two problems
no!
with that. One is, you're listening to that.
Right?
That's problem one. Problem two, who cares what happened to him?
I just feel like it's mysterious that he just vanished, and I'd like him back on the
Problem
music
three is that you don't understand that in this feature, we're not looking for more details on the tweet. We wish was less of it.
I see.
Remind me to tell you about a knife fight I once got in, arguing over Eddie Rabbit's Driving My Life Away versus I Love a Rainy Night.
I don't, it's a hell of a story.
I don't get that.
Those are two songs.
Oh, okay. And
that
lyrics?
Eddie Rabbit recorded.
And is he talking about lyrics or is he talking about
different
actual
songs?
Knife fight?
Two
he's
different
just being,
No, there's no knife fight in the lyrics, whatever.
It's just him saying, I used to fight about...
I got a knife fight over something really trivial and about a guy...
Thanks for that tweet.
I hope that came right after the Billy Ocean tweet. I hope that was a 1-2 punch.
They were days apart.
Slow news day? I just read this headline. A New Jersey man says he enjoys looking like Bill Cosby.
Listen to him laugh.
Doesn't
that strike you as a silly headline for a news article?
It's a sillier tweet.
It's real, though. That happened. Somebody wrote an article about that guy because he looks like Bill Cosby. I just found that fascinating.
Right.
Okay. Listen, this is the crux of the issue. You found it fascinating. But you don't have the ability to say, I'm probably the only one. I'm sure there are other people who follow me on Twitter who also were interested to see that there was an article such as that.
Well, a pox on them, sir. I've randomly heard What a Fool Believes so many times today, and I'm starting to take it personally.
You listen to bad music.
What a Fool Believes is...
First of all.
Doobie Brothers?
Yes.
From 1979. The 70s?
Yes. Stop listening to wherever you hear that. my advice.
Is the only radio you own a time machine?
Tweet.
Billy Ocean, Eddie Rabbit, and the Doobie Brothers.
I only listen to AM. You know that. That's where the only good music is.
You only listen to AM from 1978.
That's right. Tweet.
What the hell? Are you the best at anything? Because I'm the best at pulling my car up to the gas pump on the opposite side of where the nozzle goes.
Did he end that with hashtag FML?
Tweet.
You guys know what that's like. That's a frustrating and embarrassing thing that happens.
No, I know. I don't. I've never done that.
I have. You just get back in the car and turn around.
Because there's an arrow on your gas gauge
that
shows you what side of the car your nozzle is.
I don't want to be the damn fool who has to look at the cheat sheet every time he puts gas in his own car that he's been driving for years. So I think I got this. I know what side it's on. And then I pull up and I'm always wrong. That's my point. Always wrong. You're an idiot.
What's up with gas pumps?
That's right. Tweet.
Bean doing his horrible gas pump chunk.
Chunk. Just a tweet.
Why does the weatherman call it partly cloudy instead of mostly sunny? They mean the same thing, right?
This has been a long time problem Bean has had with the weather forecasting. As you know, he's obsessed with A, weather, and B, weather on the news.
Yeah.
I do love the weather. That is actually true.
What possible difference could it make to anyone?
I feel like wouldn't you feel differently about the day you were heading out into if you heard it was mostly sunny versus partly cloudy? That's all. That's my only point. I'm a half glass full kind of guy. You know what an optimist I am, you guys.
Salient
point. I got to give you that.
And finally, that hopeful moment boarding every flight where you don't know who your seatmate is yet, but you imagine it could be Weird Al Yankovic.
Come on. That's got to happen to somebody out there, right? Somebody doesn't know it. They don't expect it. They get on their plane. Boom! They're sitting next to Weird Al. It's the happiest day in their life. One day, I'm hoping that's me. You guys haven't ever thought about who you're going to be sitting next to on the plane.
Yeah, I usually hope it's a hot chick.
Only hot chick. That's it. I'm with Ralph. You think, hey, I hope a hot chick sits here.
That's I never hoped it was a hairy parody artist. Not once.
You would not be excited if you got on a plane and Weird Al was your seatmate.
Be dope.
Not really, because I don't like to talk on planes, really. So, and I'm sure Al doesn't.
And neither does Al.
You sure the hell would if Al were your seatmate,
though. Here's
the
thing.
You wouldn't talk to Al? Al would take his life if he sat next to you on a plane.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Here's a tweet from Al. Hopefully boarding every flight, hoping that Bean is not my seatmate. Hashtag asshole.
Tweet.
Bean.
Pearl Jam playing the L.A. Sports Arena this weekend. We got tickets you can win later on this morning's program. And if you're in the Christmas shopping mode yet, we'll catch up with our friend Dan Bova from Maxim Magazine about the Maxim Holiday Guide. That's on the way in about 20 minutes. Kevin, you were not watching the Monday Night Football game last night.
I was not, no.
Oh, it was so good. It was such a good one. This Cam Newton is the real deal. The Panthers have been surging. I think they've won like, what, six, seven, eight games in a row or something like that. They're at 7-3, and it was one of those games where it just kept going back and forth, like every team would score, and it was just a question of who was going to have the ball last. Cam Newton for the Panthers leads them with eventually they score with 59 seconds left on the clock, so they're up. So the Patriots, this is a classic Tom Brady moment. They come in, they got to march all the way down the field and try to win this game in the final seconds, as we've seen Tom Brady do so many times before.
Right. Maybe one of the best at that.
Absolutely. I think the stat on ESPN last night was that he is 32 times he has had a comeback in fourth quarter or overtime to win a game. All right. So it looked like everything was going their way. They get to 18 yards out, and then the final play of the game, 3 seconds on the clock. Here's how it unfolded.
Here's the game's final play. Brady steps up, throws end zone, intercepted. Flag in the end zone. Hang on. Flag in the end zone.
They interfered with Gronkowski, Mike.
They carried him out the back line, didn't they?
Trying to figure it out.
So the celebration put on hold here in Charlotte. Let's see. Now the Panthers running away, celebrating.
No foul on the play. The game is over.
No foul, game over. And the Panthers with the win.
So basically they picked up the flag.
That's right. They threw the flag down, then the refs conferred. They didn't, go under the hood or anything like that or have a big, long discussion. A few seconds later, you heard the announcement. The guy just said, no penalty, game is over. That was it. But it was so confusing for so many people, not the least of which was Tom Brady, who you could see chasing down the refs and screaming at them as they were all leaving the field going, what the F?
Yeah, how do you throw a flag and then pick it up? Which, by the way, happens a decent amount in the NFL.
Yeah, it doesn't usually happen in this scenario, especially since there was a linebacker for Carolina who was just so wrapped up in the Gronk. I mean, he practically was, to use Kevin's term, sexually assaulting him. It was unbelievable.
He was knee-deep in Gronk.
Yeah, he certainly was. Chip, another great band name. Well, I can tell you one man who was not happy after the game, like he's ever happy, even when they win the Super Bowl, Bill Belichick, the coach for the New England Patriots, was less than excited backstage when he was fielding questions from the media. And I believe we've got the coach. Wow, it sounds like he's already back. Got the guys practicing again this morning after the late game last night. Hi, Coach Belichick.
Hey.
I know that you were already asked this last night. You still seemed a little shell-shocked right after the game, but have you had some chances to review the play? And do you have any more thoughts about how the game ended last night?
Sure, I've had some chances, any.
Right, but did you watch the play again, maybe, and change your mind a little? Or?
Yeah.
You did.
Well, what did you see, Coach?
They picked the flag up.
Right. They threw the flag and then they picked it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But in your mind, was it pass interference? A lot of people believe it was. A lot of people believe the Patriots got screwed last night.
Okay.
Did you feel that way?
Feel what way?
Like your team got screwed last night.
Maybe.
Okay.
See, the coach doesn't give you a lot. It's quite a delicate process getting an answer out of Coach Belichick. All right, so do you think that it was pass interference? Yes or no?
Doesn't matter what I think.
Right, but we're just asking out of curiosity. I mean, they're not going to overturn it because you think one way or the other, but did you think it was pass interference?
I don't know, did I?
What? Did you think the referees owed you an explanation last night rather than just running off the field as fast as possible after they reversed their call?
Yeah.
Some people are saying that this is revenge that the Patriots deserve because you had a very similar thing happen with one of your guys not getting the pass interference call against the Saints earlier this year. Do you think this is just karma? This is just payback, Coach?
No.
Not payback, not karma.
No.
Bad call, though. No. It was a bad call.
Not for me to say.
Did you have anything to say to your quarterback, Tom Brady, about him screaming the F word on national television with the cameras in his face as he was yelling at the refs?
Sure.
What'd you say to Tom?
Don't.
That's it. You don't even have to do a full sentence for Tom. Just don't.
Yeah.
All right, Coach. Well, you've been awfully chatty today. I appreciate you making some time for us.
I know, like they say, sometimes it's football.
Right.
Sometimes it's footballless.
Oh, no. Oh, Coach. Come on.
That call made me sick.
Clear!
That's basically what we dream every night. Hope it comes true.
Is he dead now?
No. Oh. Just song. Stupid song. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53 on the world-famous K-Rock.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Speaking of the mugger, can't we impose some sort of mandatory shoe policy here
on
the Kevin
that's
and
what
Bean
I'm
show?
Thinking.
It's disgusting when he walks in here with his bare freaking feet. Hobbity and hairy and hideous and paddle-like. It's just horrible.
He does get his feet taken care of. Every week, pretty much. I mean, they are beautiful.
They're not beautiful.
They've got great toes.
They're hideous.
Great toenails.
And who wants to see a grown man walking around with bare feet at work?
He does look like he was raised in the woods.
I don't think it's too much.
Mowgli. He is Mowgli.
Look,
from Jungle Book.
None of us dress well because we don't have to. Let's be honest.
Right, dress for comfort.
Right.
But still, there's some modicum of decency involved, right?
And we've had this conversation before where somebody sent him a pair of shoes and he put them in the back of the room, but didn't put them on.
I know. Got my shoes. Where are they? In the closet.
I got my shoes.
Put some damn shoes
on. Wear some shoes. Like would it kill you?
Like a person, for God's
sake. If Lisa didn't wear shoes, it'd be fine.
Sure, chick feet are hot.
Right. But not
your big, hairy, swollen man feet.
Smugs, how do you justify coming to a business, doing your job barefoot?
Comfort.
Good enough.
Well, as long
I'm
as,
happy with
as long
that.
As you're comfortable. That's all
well, I feel he heard us.
That's right. Is it just me, or does it feel like Dancing with the Stars has been on for about 3.5 years now?
Yes. This particular season has gone on since pretty much the Clinton administration.
There's still six couples dancing on this show.
I don't know how that's possible.
Are they not eliminating anyone?
What did they start with? 104 celebrities? Anyway, everyone's talking last night because the Scientologists finally got their wish. Leah Remini was voted off the show last night. It's proving their point that...
What's her point?
I can't remember. But
if she were clear and still with the church, she would have won.
She would have superpowers. They just announced their superpower program.
Yeah.
Which will make you more aware and more able to read people, and you will save mankind.
This sounds like a joke.
Yeah, I'm not.
That
not.
We would make about Scientology, but this is real.
I'm not joking.
Yeah.
Another day, another singing competition show. Finally, someone has come up with an idea to put people singing on television, competing against each other.
How did no one think of that up until this point?
I can't imagine. ABC has picked up the latest singing competition show called Rising Star. So now we got Rising Star, American Idol, The Voice, The X Factor. Rising Star, though, is different.
How's it different, Ralph?
Because on this show, Kevin, unknown wannabe superstars will sing on stage and compete against each other.
I see. What? That's the same as all other shows.
Yeah, it is. But here's the wrinkle that separates Rising Star, because they all have one thing that makes them slightly different. The Voice.
They sing barefoot?
They sing in bare feet, yes. The Voice, they have those chairs that spin around, and they hit buttons and stuff and everything.
Right.
On Rising Star, this show comes from Israel, by the way.
Okay.
It was a huge hit in Israel. 50% of all televisions on any given night when it was airing was tuned into that show.
Wow.
Now, I don't know how many channels Israel has.
I was going to ask if they have all the options we have, but probably.
Still, regardless.
That's crazy.
That's huge numbers, right? So ABC has picked this up. The audience votes for the winner, for their favorite, on the show in real time with an app.
So they sit in the audience.
Instead of calling after the show or whatever, while you're watching the show live on television, you at home get to use your app to vote for the person as it happens, and they have the answer about who's moving on and who's going home by the end of that show.
That night. Hmm.
Happens real time. Okay. Now, here's the rub. In Israel, one time zone.
Yeah, that was going to be my question.
Of course
that would not work in America.
Yeah.
America, three time zones. So how do you air it so that everyone gets to participate in the live factor of the show?
You can't really. I don't think.
We'll see how they solve that problem next summer when it debuts on ABC.
Unless they do it live in all zones. So maybe, it would be, yeah, you know, 8 o'clock on the East Coast and then
8, 9, and 10?
5 o'clock here or whatever.
No, that wouldn't. It's an hour difference between Mountain and Western, right, in Pacific.
Right.
Three hours. So it should be 3 hour difference.
I don't know.
Daylight
savings time really screwed me up.
That's true.
Standard.
I can't figure it out. When it's daylight savings time like this, I just can't figure out what's going
standard
on.
Standard time now.
Daylight savings is sometimes
standard
frustrating.
Time? Standards time now?
Standards? I don't know that.
This isn't necessary. Hollywood, stop it, please. They just announced they're working on the sequel to It's a Wonderful Life, the classic Christmas movie It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart gets to see what the world would have been like without him if he was never born. Remember? Is it ringing a bell or anything?
Sure. Yeah, they're going to remake it?
No. They're going to make a sequel to it.
A sequel.
Yes. Yes.
Too soon.
That's just not good.
Apparently, George Bailey's unlikable grandson will now be shown how much better off the world would have been if he had never been born.
That's the same as the plot of the original movie.
No.
It's his grandson.
No. The guardian angel showed Jimmy Stewart's character how worse off the world would have been if he hadn't been born. This guy's a dick. So they're going to show him how much better off the world would have been if he had never been born.
Okay. Still not necessary.
Not at all.
No.
I like this one. It was Scrooge.
It's a Wonderful Life. The rest of the story, it's called, will be out next Christmas 2015. Stop it.
Oh, we have to wait for another year.
Stop it.
Oof. I read yesterday, Ralph, and tell me if this is in your story, because I have It's a Wonderful Life Google alert.
Sure.
It's my favorite movie of all time.
Of course.
That the actress who played little Zuzu, Jimmy Stewart's little daughter, little kid in the original movie, who's still alive, by the way, is going to be playing the Clarence the Angel part in the new movie. Have you heard that?
Yes. Carolyn Grimes, who played Zuzu, the little girl who is Jimmy Stewart's daughter. That's right, Zuzu, yeah! Teacher says when a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. She had that line in the film. That's right, honey. That's right. She's coming back, and she will play the guardian angel. Yeah.
So I think what you're saying, Ralph, is
stop it, America.
They're also talking to Jimmy Hawkins, who played Tommy Bailey, Jimmy Stewart's son, to reprise his role as well. And Carol Coombs, who played Janie. She's also alive. All the kids from that movie are alive, so they're going to come back and at least play minor roles in the...
What about the lamp that's a leg in the front window? What about that one?
That is a different Christmas movie.
Oh, different movie.
Christmas story. Stop in America!
Is necessary, though.
No.
None of it.
Nope. And it's not going to be good, I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely. There's no way.
This is another classic. Let's put this on television every year. It's not going to happen. So just, God damn it, stop it right now.
That's my favorite movie of all time. It's Wonderful Life.
Why don't you tweet that?
Let's do that right now.
Yeah, he would never think of tweeting something that important.
Actually relevant. Today's celebrity birthdays.
I'm listening to a lot of Doobie Brothers.
Let me tell you about my Eddie Rabbit listening session last week.
I had a knife fight with myself once.
I wish. Celebrity birthdays today. Larry King, legendary talk show host, 80 years old today.
Actress, I love Larry. I'm sorry, just tweeting out
tweet
loud.
That.
Sorry.
Okay. Actress Allison Janney is 54. Matt Sorum of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses fame turns 53. Meg Ryan, actress, and apparently plastic surgery crash test dummy, is 52 years old today. Actress Jodie Foster turns 51. Jeremy McGrath from the world of Supercross, 42 years old. And Jack Dorsey, the man who co-founded Twitter, took all of Bean's money, is 37 years old
sucker
today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Quick reminder, by the way, you can be one of the people who is at a K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas coming up on December 7th and 8th at the Shrine in style. We're talking about sold-out tickets in the pit, VIP artist access passes. You get to introduce a band from the stage, if that sounds good to you, and 100% of the proceeds going to the Red Cross Disaster Relief to help with the devastation in the Philippines, then you head on over to KRock.com and make your bid. We've got 5 pairs of tickets for each night, I think. Is that right?
That's correct,
5 for each night?
Yep.
Yeah, so 10 ultimate K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas experiences, charity auction going on right now at krock.com. Check it out, won't you?
Let's say good morning to Dan Bova from editor-in-chief at Maxim Magazine. That'd be better if it wasn't a dial tone. I think I just added one. Are you there, Dan?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good. How's it going, man? Happy holidays.
Oh,
Oh, thank you. Great. I'm doing great. I just got out of therapy from my last time on your show. So
well, look,
great.
In our defense, the last time you were on our show, you named Miley Cyrus as the sexiest woman in the world. And
yeah.
That's just ridiculous. Right?
Well, I'll tell you, some of your listeners shared your opinion.
Oh, is that right with you?
I got some delightful tweets after that. one of them... really hit home. It said I had lost all credibility and I should just hang up my hat and call it a day. And it was from someone named Lick My Fart Box.
when Lick talks, you really do have to listen.
Yeah, yeah. That really hits home. So,
well, you got to take that seriously.
I reevaluated myself, thought about life, but was somehow able to carry on.
All right, good.
Well, you've still got the best job in the world as the editor-in-chief of Maxim Magazine. And if you want to tweet Dan at the end of this interview, he's on Twitter at DanBova1. That's DanBova1 or at Maxim Mag. And the reason we have you on today is because you've got a new issue out. The December 2013 issue is in stores today. Before we talk about the best stuff of the year, your holiday gift guide, mm-hmm. Let's talk about Paulina Gretzky, who's on your cover. Now, anyone who follows her on Twitter or Instagram knows she's one of the hottest chicks in the world. But what's this sudden coming out? All of a sudden, she's become a celebrity. What's happening with her?
Well, she, I don't think she would call herself this, but there was a moment where she was the queen of the selfie, which actually, I'm sure you guys have talked about this, was declared the word of the year by the Oxford
yes.
English Dictionary today.
The selfie,
so,
sure.
So Paulina, came onto her radar. She started tweeting pictures of herself in bikinis, just saying like hi, and the Twitterverse went ballistic. So we're like, people seem to like her, and she looks good.
Yeah, I remember early on hearing people go, "Did you see that picture that Wayne Gretzky's daughter tweeted of herself? You should check it out." That's just how
so
it basically got around.
Now I have to live my life in fear that Wayne Gretzky is going to check me as hard as he possibly can.
Yeah, he doesn't. Don't worry about it. He's a great skater, but he doesn't check much.
It
is weird to think, by the way. You talk about the world's most perfect woman. You end up with Paulina. Not only is she unbelievably beautiful, but now you're hanging out. You end up hanging out with her. Now her father is Wayne Gretzky, and you get to sit around with him all day. I mean, like the total package.
So I don't believe she's on the market, but I think you could get your hooks in there and, make her your own.
Could make it work.
All right, there's enough reason to buy the new Maxim right there. Paulina on the cover and inside. And she is also, she's featured prominently in your best stuff of the year. Now, what's the parameters you look for as you're putting together a gift guide? Because I see that it runs the gamut from pretty cheap to, $150,000 item.
Right, yeah. So we've, a lot of our readers are billionaires.
Sure.
So they would be able to afford the McLaren 12C Spider, which is about $260,000. But we thought also, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we pick some of these cool things for the billionaires and then maybe some cooler things that, the rest of us might be able to afford.
Like the High Roller Mark II adult-size big wheel truck?
Yes, exactly.
Or trike? That looks awesome.
These are all practical gifts. So we decided, everyone's going to talk about here's the new phone, here's the new this. Let's pick stuff that, you wouldn't normally see in a gift guide and that guys would love. My personal favorite is the Chewbacca bathrobe.
Mine, too. I've already tried to figure out who I can buy one of those for. It's awesome.
And then keep it. Yeah, the Chewbacca bathrobe is pretty strong.
It's $80. We think it's the gateway to a full-on furry fetish. So, go for it, people.
Let me see what else. Lots of gadgets, which kind of makes sense. That goes hand in hand. Maxim has been covering gadgets since the beginning. I see you got some alcohol. You got musical instruments, cameras. Speakers. What do you like, Kevin? What's your favorite? What can I
like
get for
Chubbies,
you this year?
The Chubbies Blitzen shorts.
Yeah, you might like that.
I can't imagine anyone would actually wear those, although I would, just for comedy.
Yeah, for those who can't see it, it features a pair of red shorts where Santa is streaking a bunch of party revelers. So that's nice. I thought you might really like this Tumi Mixology backpack. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that, where you actually – it's a backpack where basically you could put bottles of alcohol in there.
Yeah, it's more than that. It's basically a functioning bar in a backpack.
Right.
You go out into nature, look at the trees, get wasted. I mean, what's not to love?
What's not to love?
We're talking to our friend Dan Bova here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the editor-in-chief of Maxim Magazine, the December issue in stores today, including the Best Stuff of the Year Holiday Gift Guide. You know, one of the things that I was super interested in, and I know this makes me a big geek here, Dan, is I'm obsessed with this 3D printing. I just think that in 5 years, we're going to have 3D printing in our everyday life. We're all going to be doing it. You actually have a 3D printing machine that readers can go out and buy and start doing their own printing at home, like right now, for just a couple of $1,000s. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, it's pretty – it is actually really amazing. We went – Microsoft actually gave us a demonstration of this thing. And, yeah, it's $2,000, which sounds like a lot, and I guess it is.
By the way, that is a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I make that in a minute, so what do I know? but yeah, it's the size of like a regular computer printer, and you put these, you know, sleeves of plastic in it. You dial up a design on your computer, and it makes the thing. It's crazy.
So, in other words, I mean, you could make a screwdriver if you had a digital file that told the machine how to make a screwdriver, which I know you can get a lot cheaper than $2,000.
You know what you can just do? Buy a screwdriver.
But
you can
make
your own bobblehead. You could do anything.
Yeah, you can print so many things. I just feel like, you know, there are still people who are just now hearing about 3D printing for the first time, but I really do feel like this is one of those technologies that is going to be everywhere one day, and we're not going to be able to imagine how we lived without it. All right, we got time for one more item.
I have a question, if you don't mind. I'd just like to butt in here. Dan, do you know how I can spend $450 on a pen?
Actually, I do. I know how to do that.
$450 on a pen.
I mean, imagine the sitting down at your desk and writing a letter, as you often do, with a beautiful quill tip pen. But these are DC comic fountain pens. So they're geeky and super expensive. So we thought people would like that.
I have terrible news for you, Kevin. That is not considered an expensive pen in the pen world. Look, it's more than most of us will ever pay for a pen, but there are people who pay thousands of dollars for fountain pens. No joke. It's insane. I know. It's insane.
It's crazy.
But none of them are as cool as
– upwards of $5 for a box of ballpoint pens.
That's correct.
So,
right.
Yeah,
I'm with you, Dan. About. DC Comics fountain pens. What the hell's going on here? All right. Maxim Magazine, Ron Burgundy's Guide to Living, the 10 Sexiest Girls in America's The Hometown Hotties, the 31 Greatest Dive Bars. You've got an interview with Big Bang Theory, Jerry Springer, Paulina Gretzky on the cover. It's a great issue. You do the Lord's work out there, Dan, and I don't know if I'll have a chance to talk to you again before Christmas, so this is probably going to be happy holidays from us. And again, I hope our listeners will write to you and tell you that you are dead to them at DanBova1 on Twitter.
Thanks, guys.
You bet.
Last week we were talking about our friend Paula White. She is the DJ in Britain. She's this lady.
It's a P-A-R-T-Y because I said so.
And we love her so much, right?
Well, obviously she gets drunk on the air. We love her.
Well, she was back in the news last week because she fell asleep at work. She was doing another show where she was very drunk, and then the song played after an interview that she did on the radio, and then this happened. And then right here is where you might expect Paula to start talking again, except guess what? She was sound asleep on the floor of the studio. The next DJ.
On the floor. Not just like put her head on the counter. She was laying down on the floor.
Yeah, so there was dead air on their station for about 2.5 minutes until the next DJ came in to relieve her. So that kind of got us to thinking about, I don't remember the last time we did this topic, if at all, but I bet we have a lot of our listeners who have fallen asleep at work. And it's pretty noticeable if you're the only person in a radio station who's supposed to keep the thing on the air. That's the kind of job you can't fall asleep at.
Dave the King of Mexico, remember when he was, I think it was just when he was an intern, he used to have these crazy weekend schedules where on Friday he'd go skiing, and on Saturday he'd fly to Australia, and then on Sunday he'd go to Vegas and stay up all night. And we'd go, how do you have that kind of energy? And then he would come in and sleep during our show all week.
That was the answer to how he had that.
That's right.
He got caught up at work during the show. Right. So we wanted to hear from Kevin and me listeners who have fallen asleep at work. And obviously, the more intense the job. I mean, if you're on the presidential Secret Service detail, you fall asleep at work. That's a big deal. Right. Most of us don't have jobs quite that stressful. Depending on what the job is, it could be an awesome story. So give us a call. We want to hear your stories of falling asleep at work at 1-800-520-1067. And before we take a break, here's another example of a story that just came out last week. This is a case that had gone to trial in Britain where an anesthesiologist had fallen asleep during a surgery. His job is to monitor the anesthesia on the patient who's in surgery. And he fell asleep. A nurse who was in the operating room said his head was slumped on his chest and he was apparently fast asleep. He didn't even wake up when the surgeon asked him to adjust the anesthesia. The surgeon was furious. It happened toward the end of the operation when the surgeon instructed the anesthesiologist to do something with the anesthesia, to adjust the mixture or something similar, and he did not reply. Everyone looked at him. He was sitting in his chair with his head slumped forward onto his chest, sound asleep. By the way, the reason that's back in the news is because he appealed the suspension and won and got to keep his job.
Yeah, they said in court, they said he didn't really do any harm, so he's fine. We're all good with it. And he went back to work.
So in other words, had the lady died because nobody was properly monitoring the anesthesia, it might have been a different story. But since she woke up and everything was fine, I guess no problem.
See, this is what always worries me about doctor's hours. They work for a 24-hour shift a lot of times. You go, if I'm having surgery, I want to be in the first 6 hours, not the last 6 hours of that shift.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they've got to be completely exhausted.
So that is not the job you want to fall asleep, being an anesthesiologist. That's not how you want it to go. So 1-800-520-1067. I know the Kevin and Bean listeners will come through, of course, because basically, let's face it, you're stoners and you're slackers. Give us a call. Tell us when you fell asleep at work, and we'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Our listeners rule, by the way. You see some of these calls we have?
Yeah, you knew we'd get good ones on this topic.
Talking about falling asleep on the job. Dear Kevin and Bean, Jeff writes in, right after 9/11, police departments in Los Angeles were deploying extra patrols at LAX. A couple of guys I worked with all night at a fixed post fell asleep in the patrol car. They woke up to find hot coffee and donuts on the dashboard of their car. They never found out who did it.
Oh, that's funny.
These are police officers asleep on patrol, but that's nothing compared to Monique, who's on line 7. She gets us going with your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Monique.
Good morning.
You fell asleep at work?
I did. I lived in Anchorage, Alaska for quite some time, and I was a dancer by night and a flight attendant by day.
Oh, that's the good old days, huh?
Sometimes I would, you know, go home and not even sleep an hour or two, and then I'd have to go to work and fly. I would fly to the Aleutian Islands every day, and we flew on these little Saab 340s, and passenger, like, 34 or something, so my jump seat would pull out and face everybody. They're not like the big, you know, commercial planes, however, you're hidden behind, you know, the
right,
bathroom.
Right.
So I'd be sitting there, you know, and I would just, oh, it was terrible. And I would just be.
So everybody that was on that plane could see that you had fallen asleep.
Yeah, and they're looking at me going, okay, so we're supposed to trust this plane. Nothing happens. I mean, we're flying over, you know, the Bering Sea. And here I am just, oh, it was hard.
Did you ever wake up confused and just start dancing? Asking for tips.
So, you know, we would hit that turbulence and stuff flying over. You know, Dutch Harbor is a really, really rough little place.
You don't have to tell us.
Yeah. It would jolt me. And, oh, yeah, a lot of those. You know, it's actually pretty nice because we flew a lot of drunk fishermen. So we kind of had some fun with it. So it was okay.
All right.
Good times.
Now we're. How come I never get on those flights?
By the way, Monique, we got to let you go. But no, thank you. They don't. They never even hire flight attendants who are hot enough to be dancers anymore, right?
not really. No.
All right. Let's move it into the cockpit, Kevin. Let's go to line 4. This is Jim. We're talking about falling asleep at work, and if I understand correctly, Jim, you're a pilot.
That's right, pilot. And there is an unwritten rule that while I'm sleeping, if I look over, I better not see you're sleeping too.
Right. The pilot or the co-pilot, one of them always has to be awake.
Absolutely. At least one of them. I mean, you can only count on the autopilot so much. And so we try and make it so that at least one of us is awake.
But wait, let me just clarify. So it's okay, though, if one of you is asleep as long as the other one's awake.
I want to say it's okay, but I'm saying it happens very regularly.
All right.
So it does happen, and I don't know this because I'm back in my seat, but it does happen that both are asleep sometimes?
It hasn't happened on my watch, luckily, but sometimes you're sitting there and you realize that air traffic control has called you a couple times and you kind of start to perk up after that.
Oh, I think this makes everyone feel better about the holidays.
I do, too.
Well, you know, it doesn't just happen in the airlines. It happens, you know, small airplanes or flying when you're flying by yourself in a small airplane. It happens then, too. And so I've woken up several times with the ground coming at me a million miles an hour.
Oh, my God. Wow. You're a terrible pilot.
Chill.
Maybe I just need to be tested for narcolepsy or something.
I guess so.
Go back to bed. Thanks for the call. All right. Wow, this is awesome. Let's go to Octavio. He's up next. He's on line two on the Kevin Abin Show talking about falling asleep at work.
Hey, Octavio, where did you work?
I was working at Knott's Berry Farm. This was for my 30th birthday. The night before, we went out partying. My friends got me so drunk that when I woke up to go to work, I was still drunk, and I was a ride operator. So I ended up falling asleep while we were testing one of the rides. You know, fortunately, there was no one in the rides because, you know, this is a pre-opening routine.
Right, you'd test them all to make sure they were working properly. What happened if you fell asleep when it was supposed to stop? Would it just keep going?
No, it actually has an automatic shut off. But I was inside the ride. It was the viewing tower, and so I ended up falling asleep for about like 3-4 hours. And my supervisor caught wind of it only because he just happened to be at the ride when two people decided to go on it, and just like. You know, they went up, they came back down, and my supervisor was like, oh, you changed your mind. Their response was, no, the operator's, asleep inside. He looked so sound asleep, we did not want to disturb him.
Sweet.
Wow. So, that's the best thing about your story, Octavio, is that you fell asleep at work for 3 or 4 hours. This is not I dozed off for 15 minutes. That's crazy, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Brian. He's up on line six. I believe he's got a paramedic story for us. Again, these are people you want to be awake and alert.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Kevin Bean. How are you guys doing?
Good. You're a paramedic?
Yeah, I worked as a paramedic out in the field.
Okay.
So, one day we were transporting a patient at like 2 in the morning to the hospital, and we're on the freeway, and all of a sudden the rig came to a dead stop, and I was like, what the heck's going on? I look outside, no traffic. I look up front at my partner, and he's sound asleep, his head on the steering wheel.
Oh, my God. So you were in the back with the patient.
Yeah.
And you're lucky that that's all that happened when he fell asleep, is that it just came to a stop.
Yeah. I was like, what's going on? I thought there was traffic, but it's 2 in the morning, so it couldn't be any traffic.
Wow. So what did you do? You just wake him up and tell him to drive, or did you get up there and drive?
No, I grabbed some stuff behind the back and threw it at his head, and he finally woke up.
I like it. I like it.
All right, thank you for the call. Juliet writes in, Dear Kevin Amin, by the way, I can't believe this doesn't happen all the time. So I was at therapy, and my therapist leaned back in her chair and dozed off. So I just kept talking louder and louder until she woke up, says Juliet. Yeah. Can you imagine how boring it must be to be a therapist most of the time?
Yeah,
people are
of course.
Just on and on and on. All right, we got time for a couple more. Kevin, who do you like?
Let's try Brian, who is in front of a class. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You were a teacher, an art teacher?
Yeah, I was an art teacher up in the Bay Area. It was like the end of the year. I had the kids working on their, end of the year projects or whatever. I had a late night before, and I just passed out in the middle of class, started snoring, and then my principal walked in just to check on me because she heard the kids kind of being loud. And just walked in on me, just sound asleep.
Oh, that's the worst. You could have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those meddling kids.
No, the kids are cool about it. The kids are like, yeah, let him sleep. He had a long night. It was the principal who came in. And
I like how thoughtful the kids are. He had a long night. He's probably hungover. Give him a break. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's see. Where do we want to go here?
Let's do one more. Let's go. Let's do lifeguard. Let's do Nikki on line four, please. Right. She'll close us out here. Because a lifeguard, again, there are some jobs that are just a little bit more important than others. And a lifeguard, I don't know, seems like eyes need to be open.
Hey, Nikki.
Hi.
You were a lifeguard?
Yeah, I'm a lifeguard. And it had been like a long night, a long weekend. And I was working the early morning shift at like 5 in the morning.
Right.
So I'd been asleep for like an hour. So I'm on tower, and this kid is surfing, and I fall asleep. This kid walks up to me, shakes me while I'm asleep, and he's like, why are you sleeping? You're a lifeguard. And I'm like, well, sorry.
That's a relevant question.
It is relevant. But he has like the tiniest little cut. He's like, I want a Band-Aid. So my boss gets wind of this. He calls me. He's yelling at me while I'm on tower. A huge mess. Don't fall asleep at work.
Well, I mean, I think you could see why he would be a little upset.
Yeah, I mean,
I love Nikki. She doesn't even get it. She'd rather sleep. Her boss should understand. That's our 106.7 K Rock. It's KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 8.
We haven't forgotten about our little friends in Muse, by the way. They're going to be stopping by to visit us here on the Kevin and Bean Show within the next couple of weeks. So how about that? Hey, speaking of guests.
Don't be so angry.
Easy. Muse. Take it easy, man.
Yeah.
Two-time Mr. Universe and the Incredible Hulk, our friend Lou Ferrigno, joins us coming up right after the top of the hour in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. How exciting is that, Ralph? What would seven-year-old Ralph Garman Pretty be cool. thinking right now about what the next hour is going to be like for you?
Lou was obviously one of my heroes growing up when I was a kid.
Sure.
But not just because of the Hulk, but because there was a whole generation of us kids who picked up weights.
He's waving at Ralph right now from
the
other room.
We picked up weights for the first time because of Lou, because we watched the Hulk and we saw him. And then, you know, if you were a fan, you followed him and you watched Pumping Iron, right? You saw
right.
him competing against Schwarzenegger, and Franco mm-hmm. Colombo was a big star at the time in the weightlifting world. And me and my buddies, we started lifting weights because of those guys. There was a whole generation of superstar bodybuilders, really, for the first time. Well, I guess Steve Reeves, the guy who played Hercules.
Right.
Back in the day, he was sort of well-known bodybuilder. But up until this generation of bodybuilders, there really weren't superstar bodybuilders.
And what year did you win Mr. Olympus? Is that
Mr. Olympia, you mean?
Yeah, that one. Doesn't matter.
What was I, in Greece?
Doesn't really matter.
Right, Zeus? I put down the weight shortly after
you
I picked
did.
Them up. But
yeah.
I'm just saying. All right. For a short period of time there, it was very important to us. We were cleaning and jerking all over the place.
Oh, hey,
whoa,
now.
Hey, it's a, hey, it's a hey. Weightlifting
oh,
exercise.
Okay.
The clean and jerk, for God's sake.
Very excited about Mr. Frigno's visit to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I don't get very excited when we have guests in very often.
You're geeking out a bit.
But all day long, I've been very excited.
Yeah.
So. And he's there in the other room right there.
Yeah,
there
excited.
He is. All right, time for the showbiz beat, and then Lou comes in.
It's been a good day all around for me. I get to meet Lou Ferrigno, and I get to say that nobody in Australia wants to see Justin Bieber in concert.
Yeah! Oh, really? They took a vote or something?
Well, we did with their wallets. Bieber begins his 8-show Australia tour on November the 26th, but it doesn't seem like anybody really wants to go.
Awesome.
Many of the tickets are selling for half their original price. Some on auction sites don't have any bids, including seats in the four front row, priced at $79.
What a difference a year makes.
Isn't that something?
That's awesome.
Nobody's interested. This is a great lesson for anybody who wants to be a star in any realm of show business. People will only put up with so much crap.
Yeah.
And
they do have limits.
Even the biggest stars can lose their luster and people will lose interest. And I think he is on the other side of that mountain now, which makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Nobody deserves it more. This is good news for me. And this is the reason you go to work every day.
Okay.
To take some money and put it aside and put it in the bank so that when something comes along that you must absolutely attend, you have the cash.
Okay, what is it that you must attend?
The five surviving members of the comedy troupe Monty Python have announced they're reuniting for a stage show. It'll be the first time they've ever performed together in 15 years. On Thursday, they're going to have a press conference to talk about the show, but odds are it will be in London. It will be a limited show, and it'll be the five surviving members. Graham, of course, passed away a number of years ago, but John Cleese, Eric Idle, Terry Gilliam, Michael Palin, and Terry Jones will be performing together for the first time in 15 years. And whenever it happens,
right.
I will be.
I was going to ask. You'll go. That's
I will absolutely
for real.
Go.
Because you hate traveling.
I hate traveling, but I would go to the ends of the earth to see
right.
this event. For me, for comedy, for me, is for like you guys with music. You know, there's certain artists, when you hear they're going to be performing or something, you say, that's a show yeah. I must attend.
Yes.
Comedy, for me, is like that. I'm a comedy groupie.
Now,
I
how do you
love to see these guys live.
How do you reconcile that it's many years later, and will it taint their legacy if you go and it's just not that good?
First of all, I'm not interested in their taints, you pervert. Okay? I just want to go see them perform comedy. And how could it not be fun? These guys, I saw John Cleese's one-man show a couple years ago, and it was side-splitting. And here's a guy well into his 60s,
yeah.
but he's still freaking hilarious. And Eric Idle, the same thing. I mean, this guy still just have it, whatever it is. And I am a huge fan, and I'm looking forward to wherever they're going to be performing. And this is great news. Kanye West, recent guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Sure.
One of our finest moments, I think.
I think we could have done
just
better.
Run over us with a steamroller.
Sure, could have done a better job with that.
He is still going on about the fact that he's a creative genius.
Well, he's a god, first of
just
all.
Just ask him.
We don't even have to ask him. He volunteered it
yeah.
when he was here. a creative genius. He did an appearance on a radio show in Philadelphia on Monday and said, people get mad at me saying I am a creative genius, but it's just obvious. It's like factual. I would write creative genius when I go through the airport. I would put that on the customs forms.
That wouldn't be annoying.
What your job is. I don't. For two reasons. It takes too long to write, and sometimes I spell the word genius wrong. Prosecution arrest, Your Honor.
Awesome.
Why would he say that?
I spelled the word genius wrong.
That is I showed awesome. People that I understand how to make perfect.
Yeah. Well, he does make perfect. Except when it comes to spelling genius. Then he's not
when
so
someone
perfect.
Comes up and says something like, I am a god.
Right.
Everybody says, who does he think he is?
Mm-hmm.
I just told you who I thought I was. A god. I just told you. That's who I think I am.
He's got a point. He did just tell us.
He did.
It's hard to argue.
We just sat there and he just said that.
Yep.
We struggle.
By the way, for those of you that haven't had the pleasure of sitting across from him, he's got crazy eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You go, whatever's coming out of this guy's mouth, he believes?
He's a force of nature.
He really is.
Yeah. You fear that if I dissent,
right.
Violence may erupt.
I will die.
Yes, some sort of violence. That's why we need Lou Ferrigno in the studio every day. Just sit him in a corner.
Right.
And next time we get, you know, a loudmouth guest comes in and starts trying to push us around, Lou just stands up.
I like it.
Now what? Now what are you going to do?
And
we have a Hulk. That's what we tell people when they come in.
That's right. And now we could make him spell genius as well.
That's right. Beer Mug can spell genius. If Beer Mug's a better speller than you are no genius, sir. All right, let's talk about celebrity birthdays. Today, on the 19th, Jack Dorsey was born. He is one of the co-founders of Twitter. 37 years old today.
Just took a lot of Bean's money.
He sent the first ever tweet, which was, just setting up my Twitter.
Interesting than the last 100 of Bean's.
It's not quite one small step from
no.
Man.
No.
But it's still, you know, it's not come here, Mr. Watson, I need you. But still, we'll go down in history as the very first tweet. Just setting up my Twitter. King of the Supercross, Jeremy McGrath, is 42 years old today. Actress Jodie Foster turns 51. Actress Meg Ryan is 52. Matt Sorum of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 53 years old today. Actress Allison Janney celebrates her 54th birthday. And talk show host Larry King.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
You are, Larry. You are 80 years old today.
Well said.
Thank you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We welcome to the studios of K-Rock, Lou Ferrigno. Welcome, Lou.
Good morning.
There's very few pop culture icons in the world, and you, sir, are one of them. You must have fans everywhere you go around the world constantly coming up to you and talking to you about what your work, both as the Hulk and as a bodybuilder, what it's meant to them for their whole lives.
Well, I enjoy it because, you know, fans are all over, and I'm glad they have a lot of respect for me because I've been to Singapore, Malaysia, and as a matter of fact, I was in Bucharest, Romania, filming Scorpio King 4. And they all was excited because it's nice to be known worldwide.
Is that because of the Incredible Hulk? Is that because of your bodybuilding?
It's a combination because I won the Mr. Universe in 1973 and I was on ABC Wide World of Sports. It gave me international recognition. Then, of course, followed Pumping Iron, which is your favorite governor.
Sure.
I know.
Yeah, Arnold.
And then Incredible Hulk TV series. I mean, it maybe a household name. And the legacy is now 40 years.
Is it true that when you were a little kid, you were bullied, you were beat up, so you decided that I'm going to have to start lifting weights?
Yeah, because, you know, it's funny. I read Hulk comics and Superman comics because as a kid, I was fascinated with power. And I had low self-esteem. I was very introverted. And it changed my life because that led to fitness and bodybuilding because I discovered that there is a Miss America competition, Miss Universe. I said, wow. You know, it gave me the sense of security, of power.
You know what's weird about that is I would see the same things, but it wouldn't occur to me that I could be Mr. Universe or whatever. I would just go, yeah, that's impressive for someone else.
That's okay. You go in the room by yourself, flex, and say, I'm Mr. Universe.
All right.
Nobody can argue
that's
with you.
That's true. There's no one else there.
I was talking to these guys, and I said when Pumping Iron came out and when it was you and Arnold and Franco Colombo, it was the first time I remember there being superstar bodybuilders in that sport. Sport had been around forever, but they were big international stars. When you started lifting, who did you look up to? Who were your idols in bodybuilding that you looked at and said, that's somebody I want to be like?
It was Steve Reeves.
Steve Reeves?
Steve Reeves was the original Hercules. and he had like an 18-inch neck, 18-inch arm, 18-inch calf, and he made Hercules film. He was Mr. Universe. He symbolized the perfection of a male physique. Then, of course, it was like Dave Draper and Larry Scott afterwards. But Steve was the first person, the first muscle man I've ever seen, and he was on the screen. I said, this is what I want to be.
And if you look at his physique now, it's nothing compared to what you guys accomplished,
well,
you know,
funny,
25 years later.
Well, he had perfect symmetry. Of course, like you're saying, he on the stage now, he couldn't even crack the top 20.
Right, yeah.
But his prime, I mean, he was unbeatable.
A lot of people don't move on from the world of bodybuilding. They go to bodybuilding, and then that's their thing, and then they go away. Like Arnold moved into acting, and he also moved into politics, unfortunately. And you've got other businesses, and you've been on TV, and you've done other things. Are you the rare breed in weightlifters?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, like you said, Arnold gone to politics, and I've been a deputy sheriff now for 10 years.
Oh, really?
Because my father was a police lieutenant. So I've always loved law enforcement. I like giving back. But basically, it's the two of us. And I'm glad because I was the first one on ABC World Water Sports to put bodybuilding on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was before Pumping Iron came out. And so today I'm very happy about my success.
Was the Hulk thing just a fluke? Was acting something you even had any interest in? Or did they approach you and say, you know, you're the perfect guy, we'd love to have you as playing the Incredible Hulk on television?
While training for competition, this was 1976. I was about 5 weeks away from competing in the Mr. Olympia competition. And I received a phone call. I said, I got to win this part. So the next day I went for the audition. And then they had me painted green. They wanted to know if I could show emotion without speaking, pantomime, acting, the whole bit. And the next day, I was hired, and we shot the pilot, and the rest was history.
Wow.
Yeah,
it took you one day to get the gig.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Wow. All right, Lou Ferrigno is here. We do need to take a break, but first we want to mention Ferrigno Fit. Tell us what that is, and then we'll take a break and come back and talk a little bit more about it.
Well, ferrignofit.com is a global business website where it teaches you how to become your own personal trainer. It's a 12-week training program. You get customized meal plan for anybody, any shape, and you get consultation from the different nutritionists. You talk to trainers, but you don't need a trainer. You train yourself, anybody, any type. That's amazing because you could be anywhere in the world and get a customized fitness routine that you could adapt for yourself.
You must have people asking you all the time for training tips and help and what do I do. So here's a chance for you to share your expertise, right?
Oh, yeah, because my daughter and I, we have different people on board and everything because I can't train the whole world. But people in different countries need the expertise and the training advice, and they can consult on the internet. Like, for example, if you go to another country somewhere, there's no gym in a hotel, you can improvise in your room. You can have different exercises that you can apply to yourself from dealing with the internet. It's fantastic because I can't be there to train that person.
Right. Will your website, though, call me up and kick my ass and make me go to the gym? Because that's my problem.
Stop being a baby, Garmin. Get up and go.
My ass off the couch is the hard part.
Once you sign on the website, once you get involved, then you are 50% committed. And it's much easier from there on. It's about that first commitment, making the first step, knowing that I'm going to commit and change my body and change my life.
Lou Ferrigno is here. We'll take a quick break and come back on the world famous. Lou Ferrigno is in the studio with us.
Yeah.
He is the co-founder of Ferrigno Fit.
Which I'm joining.
Which Ralph is joining,
right? My ass has gotten fat.
Ralph has decided he needs to do this now.
Now I'm motivated. Once again, just like many years ago.
Yes.
When Lou Ferrigno inspired me to pick up weights, once again, he's inspiring me to get into shape.
Lou, can you do anything with beer mug back here? Because he says every day, he says, oh, I'm starting my diet now. I mean
it. Well, you need to go on ferrignofit.com, go to Incredibly Fit. And I swear to you.
Do you have like a really extreme program for people who have no self-control?
Oh, yeah, that's what Ferrigno Fit is all about.
That's it.
Because
all
like right. I mentioned before, for anybody, any shape, any type.
All right, Incredibly Fit. How long is it going to take me to get Incredibly Fit? What's the...
Well, it's a 12-week program, and you when you see the major results in 3 months of training.
12 weeks. I can do that. Yeah. I can do 12 weeks.
And the commitment, and it's very easy because everybody in their head make it harder than it is to say, oh, my God, I got to work out. I can't do this. But the thing is, it's not – you're going on a very strict diet. It's that you get to cut on my meal plans where you're able to adapt and still enjoy the training, but you'll have to change your diet drastically. Something that the diet applies to how you're eating, but not change anything from one extreme to the other.
You have your own competition, you were telling us off.
Yeah, it's going to be in Santa Barbara 2014 at the Granada Theater called Ferrigno Legacy and .com. And then we're going to have men's fitness, vegan beauty, bikini, bodybuilding classic. And But for years, people kept saying to me, how come you don't have your own competition like you did, like Arnold, have the Arnold Classic on everybody else? But I decided that to do this one because it's going to be very successful. And the fact that, that's what people want to see because everybody's into health products like chiropractic care, medical care. It's all about, you know, combining the mind and the mind and the body of the team.
Are you happy with how much more mainstream getting in shape and working out and getting fit and all that is now than it was in the beginning days?
Yes, because 40 years ago, it was only guys working out. And then you had young kids, you had men, guys competing at the CrossFit program. But nothing takes the place of weight training, sensible training, good diet, and proper rest.
Good diet, Mug. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, he's a terrible eater.
And you guys were sort of considered oddballs when you started out. I mean, if you were a bodybuilder, people thought that was a strange thing. And now it's so mainstream and sort of accepted.
Well, they always say that it's no brain and, you know, or
right.
body and everything.
Big muscle heads.
But it's funny, when I went on the Celebrity Apprentice two years ago, they expected the same thing. They got fooled because I was the only athlete to make it to nine shows. But they thought, okay, it comes the Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk, you know, all born, no brains and everything. But that changed because you have to be intelligent to be a world champion bodybuilder because you have to be knowledgeable about the diet, about the training, the science of exercise. It's not anybody could just pack on muscles and go on stage.
Right, right.
Is it true that you trained at some point Michael Jackson?
20 years.
Really?
For 20 years?
20 years. And then...
you didn't do a very good job because he was really skinny.
Well, Michael didn't want to go. Michael is Michael, and he's the best. I had a great time with him. Michael liked to do things his way. So he came to me because he trusted me and the fact that he knew he would never get injured with me and the fact that he respected our privacy.
So you worked with Michael Jackson for 20 years?
On and off, 20 years, because he needed to the strength of his ligaments and tendons because he was getting older. And
Did you get him in shape for this recent This Is It tour?
Yes, I would go into his house and everything, and unfortunately, he passed on.
Of course.
But he was about to be in the best shape of his life.
Wow, that makes it even more of a bummer know what happened.
He was a great human being.
That's crazy.
And how about the acting, Lou? You still got your hand in? You're still working on acting projects and doing
movies?
Yes,
I have Scorpion King 4 coming out from Universal, and then also to film an episode on a new Star Trek and kind of a TV series coming out, and it's a great character I played. And then I'm working on two different projects because now I'm just playing the other side of the character instead of playing the different roles, like I Love You Man, King of Queens.
Right, you were great on King of Queens. Film. That was great stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was.
And you were the voice of the Hulk in the Avengers movie, too,
yes,
right?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
And I plan to be involved with the next Avengers. Also, they're coming out with a new Hulk movie because the Hulk saved the day in the Avengers movie.
Right, right.
Is that because of your input? Do you chalk up the success of that movie all to you? You should.
Just to be honest with you, the TV series put the Hulk on the map. That's why today I do a lot of comic convention and people come up. They always say, the fans come up, they say, we love the original Hulk better. Now, the beauty is that the fact that I can sign autographs, the CGI can't.
That's true.
That's
animation
true.
Can't sign autographs. Yeah, exactly. It'll never cut into your business.
But it's the biggest franchise. And everybody loves the Hulk because, you know what's interesting? He's green. And every nationality embraces the Hulk.
That's weird.
The way and we all have a little Hulk inside of us.
I don't.
Yeah, I do. I Hulk out on a daily basis on this show, quite frankly. We're working with these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you look so much better than Arnold Schwarzenegger? Arnold, he's starting to look cartoonish.
Full disclosure, Lou, you're 62 years old, right?
Yeah, just turned 62.
And you're in amazing shape. And you said you work out, what, like an hour and a half a day?
I would say an hour, 15 minutes. I do 30 minutes of cardio, 45 minutes of weight training. If you get a good pump, I would do anything excessively. I would overtrain. I don't train too heavy. And I'm very consistent. That's the key word, very consistent. I train 5-6 days a week.
When you see Arnold, you're a little shocked by how small he is. A little, because you expect him to be a monster. You know, expect him to be huge.
Well, I think
you still look that way.
Well, everybody's different. I'm happy to look the way I look.
Yes. Well said and very, very, very kind of you. Very kind of you.
You've got amazing tact. Lou Ferrigno has been our guest. He is the co-founder of Ferrigno Fit, and the website louferrigno.com and ferrignofit.com is where you can go if you want to sign up like Ralph is going to do.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to be in the best shape of my life by spring.
In 12 weeks.
If you get a chance, go on ferrignofit.com and watch the presentation, the intro. Everything is amazing because you can see I talk about the five different steps of what you can do to change your life, change your body, and then your whole physicality.
How can you go wrong when the Hulk is going to be training you?
That's true.
You can't go wrong.
He's my trainer. Yeah.
That's right. Lou Ferrigno?
Ferrigno.
Trains me.
Yeah. Thank you, Lou, for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having
me. Good time.
My pleasure.
at the Grammy Roundtable with none other than Mr. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk himself. How you doing, Lou?
Good. Good afternoon.
How has life been for you up to today?
How did you not ask Lou Ferrigno about that question, you guys? How did you not bring up Beer Mug's interview with Lou?
I totally forgot about how's your life been until today. That's the most general question that could ever be asked.
Muggs' interview was so much better than ours. It's true. Lou Ferrigno. But how inspirational and how nice is that man?
Yeah, and a monster. He's huge.
All right. Andy Samberg in about 20 minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, though, we want to give away some tickets to see PJ. Pearl Jam coming to town, Sports Arena this weekend. This game is not easy, though. Am I right?
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr.
Mr.
Announcer Man, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
No, I don't think we would. So it's been a while since we played the hardest game in the world. For our listeners on hold and those listening to the radio, tell us how it works, please.
We'll be playing for you titles of Pearl Jam songs. All you need to do is identify the title we give you, and you're in the drawing.
Doesn't seem that hard.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. They'll be backwards.
Yeah!
We didn't know this was going to be the hardest game in the world when we started doing it, but when you hear them backwards and then they make zero sense, it has become perhaps the hardest game in the world.
Indeed it has.
Who do we have, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is James. He's a social worker.
Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. You ready for your Pearl Jam song? We're going to play it backwards twice, and then you have to give us the answer to the song.
Okay, let's give it a try.
Here you go.
Viala.
One more time.
Viala.
Sirens.
Alive.
Oh. Thanks for playing, though.
Sorry, James.
This game's not easy.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Rocco. He's in music marketing. Hey, Rocco.
Rocco?
Rocco, is that a given name or is that just a nickname?
It is a given name.
That's crazy.
Your parents hated you. All right, you ready for your song?
I think so. I'm ready.
Twice backwards. Here you go.
Heard that Benel Hualai.
One more time.
Heard that Benel Hualai.
Elderly woman behind the counter from a small town.
Oh.
Yellow Ledbetter.
Oh. Sorry, 0-2.
That's a knockout, Rocco.
Ooh, nice. I like how ours had, what, 4 syllables, 5 syllables. His had 80 syllables, his guess. That's a tip, though, if you're playing the game, is listen for how many syllables are in the
room. Oh, I guess it's easy, Bean, having the list in front of you.
Just trying to help the listeners out, that's all.
Next up is Judy. She's a school secretary. Hey, take some dictation.
Hi, Judy. Are you ready for your song?
Let's go.
All right, good luck. Here you go.
Namgithun.
One more time.
Namgithun.
I'm at a loss. I'm sorry.
You want to take a guess? Just pick any song, just in case. You might get lucky.
Nothing, man.
Yeah!
That's correct.
You're right. Nothing, man.
Yep, you are in the drawing
what
to win Pearl Jam
are
tickets.
Are the chances she would
nice
take a stab in the
guess
dark?
Wow.
All right, who do we have?
Next up is Justin. He's in TV broadcasting. Can I have a job, please?
Justin?
Papa's out, guys.
If you need an announcer, he's available.
I am!
All right, here's your Pearl Jam song backwards twice. Good luck.
Wolf Navi.
One more time.
Wolf Navi.
Is that Even Flow?
Even Flow.
Look
well
at that.
Done.
Look at that.
Nicely done.
All right, so Judy's in the drawing. Justin's in the drawing. I think we got time for another. Who's up next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Jennifer. She's in commercial real estate. I've got an open house I'd like you to sit.
Good morning. Wait,
what? Did that line work on you, Jennifer?
Kind of.
It sort of did. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's your song. It's going to be backwards twice. Good luck. One more time.
Black.
Better man.
Better man.
Oh, nice try. Nice try.
Oh.
All right.
Sorry.
One more, but this is it.
This time we mean it.
Next up is Louie. He's in car rental business things.
Hey, Louie.
Hi.
Are you ready for your song?
I think so. I'll try.
Good luck. Here you go.
Heard on.
One more time.
Heard on.
Jeremy?
Daughter.
All right, one more, but this time we mean it.
This time we mean
Seriously,
it.
Seriously, this is the last one.
I just hate to go out on a loser, that's all.
Next up is Robin. She's an editor. I hope she can cut this whole thing out.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, how are you?
We'd like to go out on a winner. We have one more.
All right, I'll try.
Here we go. Twice backwards. Good luck.
Himeresh.
One more time.
Himeresh.
That would be Jeremy.
Yeah!
Jeremy.
Nicely done.
All right, so Robin, yes. Judy, yes. Justin, yes. That's three, but only one can win tickets for this weekend. Pearl Jam at Sports Arena. Who's our winner?
It's going to be Robin.
Robin. Yeah! Congratulations, Robin.
That's amazing.
That's
so
amazing. Thank you for playing the game. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Quickly, Robin, to the Pearl Jam concert.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
The hilarious Andy Samberg, late of Saturday Night Live, now one of the stars of Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Fox, joins us coming up after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's here for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
I miss Lou.
Your new best friend.
Just here a half hour ago.
I wish
you guys could have seen Ralph's eyes, man.
He was sad he's gone.
He was looking at Lou like a dog looking at his food.
I don't think there's there's much that can replace
that old saying.
I'd like to withdraw that last comment if I could.
You know, dog looking at their food.
Look at me with such a confused look in his eye. Sorry, Bean.
Well said, Kevin.
You were saying?
Well said.
I was saying that I don't think there's much to replace the feeling you get. Look, Ralph meets a lot of stars.
Right.
But there's nothing that replaces the feeling you get when you meet a childhood hero.
Yes.
There's something different and special about
that. That's the best. That is you cashing a check that your childhood wrote. You know, it's like you have all these dreams and aspirations as a little kid, and you aspire, oh, maybe someday, wouldn't it be great if? And then as a grown-up, you're able to fulfill the wish for that little version of you. You do something good for the small person you used to be.
We went over to take a photo, and I can count on one hand the number of times this has happened. I went over there. Yeah. Lou Ferrigno was over there. Ralph was over there, and Ralph said, just me and Lou for one, please.
Yeah. Let me just get a picture 101 here without your giant dome taking up the entire frame. Can I just get a picture?
In Ralph's defense, he's got to take his Christmas card photo sometime.
That's true.
Right. Might as well
that's
be this
true.
Morning.
Exactly.
Sorry, Mrs. Garman. You're out of the picture this year.
Good shit. Look, I love Carrie, but she's no Hulk.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Exactly.
I think she'll understand.
It's you and Lou this year, obviously.
Obviously, yes. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. But before I do, how about, you know, I mentioned this yesterday. People went ballistic. They went crazy for this event, and I don't blame
them. Dog looking at food?
They were like a dog looking at their food.
Where'd you guess I was going for there?
I don't know. A dog with a bone, maybe?
Dog with a bone, maybe? Yeah.
Sure. Not sure.
But yeah, that would have worked.
And that's not really, because dog with a bone is like when someone won't let something go. You're like, boy, you're like a dog with a bone.
Yeah,
you can't get that. So that really wouldn't
have worked
either.
No.
Not really sure where you're headed with that, but I sure looked at him like a dog looks at his food.
It sure wasn't. Sure wasn't that. Wherever I was headed, it wasn't that.
That wasn't. Breaking Bad fans, how would you like to attend a special screening of a documentary called No Half Measures, Creating the Final Season of Breaking Bad?
Yay!
While they were putting the final season together, they had a documentary crew on hand, and they captured all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Very cool event. It is happening on November the 25th at the Groves Pacific Theater. Now, people say, oh, will this be released? Where can I see it? No, you can't see it anywhere. It will be attached to the Breaking Bad Complete Series Blu-ray and DVD set as one of the extras.
Not the season, but
not
the
whole
season, series.
But the series that comes in the barrel. There's going to be a
barrel that you can hide out in the dirt behind your house?
Exactly, yes. Okay. So you will be able to see it if you pick that up, but this is a screening and then a Q&A with some of the cast of the show as well. So this is a very cool event that we're offering you here. You also will get a copy of Breaking Bad The Final Season on Blu-ray, and you will qualify to win that complete series barrel set on Blu-ray and a spot in line to get it signed by Vince Gilligan, creator, of course, of the show, and Bryan Cranston and more. So this is very, very cool, and I'm bringing it to you. Because I love you like a dog loves his food.
That's true.
1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Four winners. First four people through with that number will get this very special event. All right. Kanye West says He is a creative genius.
Really?
Yeah. People get mad at me saying I'm a creative genius, but it's just obvious. It's like factual.
Was this in the news?
He said on a radio station in Philadelphia, I would write creative genius when I go through the airport. I would put that on customs forms where you put what your title is, except for two reasons. It takes too long to write, and sometimes I spell the word genius wrong.
That can't have been him being funny, can it?
I don't believe so. No, I think that
he
was
He doesn't
just,
strike me as a guy with that sense of humor, but...
Yeah. Speaking of geniuses, Kanye gave a speech over the weekend at Harvard. Gave a lecture at the Harvard Graduate School of Design.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
He was there with his baby mama, Kim Kardashian, which marks the one and only time the words Kardashian and Harvard will ever be in the same sentence. So, you heard it here first, folks. A lot of TV news. Kate Walsh is getting a new TV series. Remember her from Private Practice?
I do. Hmm.
Very sexy. She's getting a new series called Bad Judge on NBC.
I like it. A little on the nose, maybe, but I like it.
What do you guys think it's about?
She will play...
An astronaut?
No, she'll play a person who
a firefighter?
Who comes on the Kevin and Bean Show to do an interview. She's a bad judge of character. No, she will play a criminal court judge.
No. Oh. Didn't see that coming.
Whose life outside the courtroom sees her living on the edge.
Ah.
So she's like a sexy bad girl during the nighttime, and then a day she's all by the business with her robe and her gavel.
I like
she's
it.
A bad judge.
Look, I'm fine with the bad judge, whatever, put it on the schedule. But if somebody doesn't make a mayor... Rob Ford TV show, if that is not turned into an actual primetime show where we follow the adventures of a crazy drugged out mayor who does whatever he wants,
mayor cocaine.
I don't understand TV anymore.
Bad mayor.
Seriously. Yeah. Just gets better and better every day.
He really is the most entertaining politician in history.
You see him knock down that old lady yesterday?
Yeah, took her out.
Ran over an old lady.
Hip checked her. He's a Canadian, so he gave her the hip check right into the boards.
I don't even think he noticed either.
No. He's a bull in a china shop.
He couldn't even tell.
He's the incredible Hulk mayor.
He is the Hulk. And Kevin and I were talking off the air, Ralph, and I'm sorry to hijack your piece here, but he showed up at the Toronto Argonauts game after he was specifically asked to stay away, by the way. He showed up at the game and got a huge ovation when he came into the stadium. Like, he's a rock star in Toronto now because of the nonsense.
He could get reelected tomorrow if they held a special election.
Yep, I think he could.
I agree. You don't want to miss out on an Argonauts game.
No, you don't.
Go Nauts. That's what I always say.
You never said that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Talk show host Larry King is 80 years old today.
He's terrific.
He will not retire. Larry King is going to be one of those guys who's going to die while doing an interview.
Well, he said he's retiring.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
He left CNN. Remember, said I'm retiring.
Right. Right.
And then he got two new talk shows.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Allison Janney, she's 54 years old today. So good on The West Wing. Now that new series, Mom, she's got with Anna Faris. Very entertaining show. Matt Sorum of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses turns 53 years old. Meg Ryan is 52. Jodie Foster turns 51. Jeremy McGrath is 42 years old today. And co-founder of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, is 37 years old today. He's celebrating by setting Bean's money on fire.
Certainly is.
Yeah.
Hey, Jack, how about a little less celebrating your birthday, a little more making the company valuable so my stock
wiping
doesn't
his ass
to drop.
With Bean's cash.
He's going to light his birthday candles with Bean's hundreds.
Yeah, he sure is.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
He is an Emmy Award winner, a writer, a comedian, a rapper, a longtime SNL cast member, but probably best known for being the voice of Ham in the movie Space Chimps. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Andy Samberg back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Andy?
I'm good. Thank you for bringing up my most important work. I appreciate that.
I can't imagine there's a day that you travel around L.A. where somebody doesn't come up to you in line at the supermarket and go, hey, forgive me for interrupting. Aren't you Ham from Space Chimps?
Has that happened once?
I think, you know, it has because people's kids watch it.
Ah.
Well, Andy, welcome back.
Any animated movie will get watched.
Yeah, that's actually true. Last time we had you, and it was with your Lonely Island pals, and we had a lot of fun. Yeah. And I remember thinking, I'm so glad he's got these friends, and he's got this little rap career of his. Because
this rap career.
Because we all know what happens when you leave SNL, man. You're straight to Chris Kattan land. I mean, we all know this is the last we're going to see of Samberg. And damned if you did not surprise the world by getting on a hit show, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Well done, sir.
Well, thank you very much.
there's a pretty good track record of our crew coming out of the show, but it's definitely scary.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Do you start letting it get in your head the success rate of new TV shows, you know, before it airs is crazy low. Most of them get canceled. Does that start making you nervous, or you just try to put it out of your mind, do the best show you can?
The latter. I mean, there's no guarantee anything ever will work. There's no guarantee, like, you know, any Lonely Island thing will work.
Yeah.
You know, we always just do the thing that is making us laugh at that moment. And the guys who do Brooklyn Nine-Nine are the ones who did Parks and Rec and also worked at The Office. And those are shows that I really respected. So I said yes to working with them. And I really do like the show. I'm excited.
I am too. I love it. I'm still one episode behind Andy, but I've seen every episode and I love it. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why is because it's not just here's funny Andy Samberg surrounded by a bunch of interchangeable people. You've put together one of those casts where there are like six people on the show that I love their characters. You know what I mean? And that's the beauty of the writing and the casting. I mean, this show is deep.
Absolutely. And it's smart for me to not rely only on myself, because who cares about me?
Well, a lot of people.
You gotta spread the wealth. And no, I agree with you. You know, we got Andre Brower and Terry Crews and Joe Latrulio, all these people. It's like, you know, it's also that thing of like Parks and Rec where there's people you haven't heard of coming in and then you get to discover them on the show, which has been really right. Awesome.
Tell us about acting with Andre Brower. He seems like he's the real deal.
He is, yeah. I mean, it's funny, like our characters are so different and our personalities in real life are kind of similarly different, whereas like he went to Juilliard and is incredibly grounded and has gravitas and acting training, and I kind of did stand up and internet videos
and you did I'm on a boat
float around. Yeah, exactly. I don't really see him conjuring I'm on a boat ever, but at the same time,
now, what
I could never star in Othello, so.
Now, what about Terry Crews? This is a guy, there's nobody that looks scarier than Terry Crews, and
right.
Yet he seems just like a goofball.
He's an incredibly sweet man. Yeah, he defies all odds of his giganticness and buffness. Truly a gentle giant, if you will. But he's great. You know, you can play that terrifyingness into the sweetness, which is always really funny.
I don't know if you saw this episode or not, Kevin, but there was one where the Andy's character, the cop, had screwed up and everybody had to work over a weekend to try to solve a case. And Terry Crews works out while he sleeps. That's how intense he is. And it was hilarious. We're talking about Brooklyn 99, which, by the way, airs another new episode tonight on Fox. That's at 8:30. Hey, did I hear this right, or am I going to embarrass myself in front of our guest? Are you guys on after the Super Bowl this time? This end of the season, Andy? Are they putting your show up after the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's correct. They gave us a Super Bowl episode over at Fox. It's super exciting.
That's
super,
ridiculous.
Super. It's crazy. So many eyeballs.
You guys aren't friends. What the hell's going on?
I'm working out in my sleep.
Yeah.
I get for this thing.
Tell me about tonight. Our friend Patton Oswalt is guest starring. What can you tell us?
He's fantastic. He plays the fire marshal in Brooklyn, and he and I are very much at odds. The fire department and the detective force don't get along very well in our world of Brooklyn, which apparently is a fairly common thing, apparently, in many cities. The fire department and the police department have secret, like, you know, almost fraternity-like beefs with each other, which I think is really amusing.
Yeah, it is. Doesn't it sort of seem like the fire marshals are kind of almost like the mall cop world?
I wouldn't say that, no. I will never speak ill of anyone in the fire department. You know that.
Well,
I can't believe Bean would ask that question.
Hey, how dare you? I just know that Patton is always awesome, and of course his guest turn on Parks and Rec, the show you mentioned earlier, Andy, was amazing earlier this year, so I'm very, very excited to see him on the show tonight. I mean, he's the best.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Look, if you love Parks and Rec or The Office, another show you mentioned, please check out Brooklyn Nine-Nine because it is super, super fun. It's just got a great cast. I mean, there's so many things going on in it, and it is exactly the kind of show, like you said, that allows guest stars to kind of come in that are friends of all of you guys. And, I mean, I hope you guys run forever, man. I'm loving the show. I really, really love it, and congratulations on it.
Thank you so much, man. That's so nice of you to say. I appreciate it.
And Brooklyn 99 tonight at 8:30.
Stop saying 99! It's 99, right?
It's 99, yeah.
All right. I'm just saying.
More important that people watch than they get the name right.
Okay. 8:30 tonight on Fox. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
So that I am not accused of being creepy,
creepy.
Why don't you guys remind the ladies listening why they want to be Miss Double December 2014?
All right, good enough. If you'd like to be Miss Double December for the Kevin and Bean Show, you will be the eye candy when we go out. Any place we go, you will accompany us. You'll get to go to the Acoustic Christmas. You'll get to go to Weenie Roast. You get to go to April Foolishness. Any singles parties. We need you to go there by, I believe, a week from tomorrow is the deadline at krock.com, Kevin and Bean section. Send in 3 photos. Fill it out. You got to be 21 or over and apply to be Miss Double December.
You'll be our spokesmodel for the year. The downside is you have to spend time with us. The upside is you get to attend all the very cool K-Rock functions. And bonus upside, Bean does the show from many miles away.
That's true.
How dare you?
That is a promise we can make.
And because it's always the first question we get asked, we don't care whether they're real or fake, as long as they're awesome, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Then once we have all our contestants, we will narrow it down to the top 10, and then you, the K-Rock listeners, will get to pick your favorite, and we'll have, of course, our annual Miss Double December pageant down at the Slide Bar in Fulton, which is always a great event, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
And I'm already hearing from people who say, hey, what's the date of the pageant this year? I want to make sure to ask for that day off because I love being there every year. It's going to be coming up on Friday, December 13th at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fulton. This year's Miss Double December pageant to try to crown Our Lady for 2014. All right, krock.com is where you go for that. Right here is where you go for Ralph Garman and our final look at the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday.
We're doing it on Friday the 13th?
Yes, apparently we are.
I can't. I'm out.
You big Friday the 13th?
Oh, terrifying. Guy shows up with a hockey mask and a hatchet. Who needs that?
I don't think that's going to happen.
You with me?
No.
I miss Lou Ferrigno.
have you signed up for Ferrigno Fit yet, Ralph?
I haven't had a chance yet, but I will. I'm going to do that right after the show today. Actually, a second thing after the show. Immediately after the show, I'm putting on a puppet show for my daughter's nursery school class.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Can you film it?
No,
please,
I can't.
Please.
It's an intimate moment.
Please.
Me and a bunch of three-year-olds.
Please film it.
I'm not filming
it. I'm begging you to film
it. I'm telling you I'm not going to do that.
Have somebody else film
it. Why in the world would I open myself up to that sort of abuse? What do you think I am, you? I'm foolish enough to put my ridiculousness on display for everyone to mock?
It's all I have, man. You have other stuff.
It's all I would do. I would only do this for my daughter.
Come on.
It was a special request from her teachers.
Do you do lots of different voices for the little puppets, right?
I do.
Yeah,
I
that's
do.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Is it Adam West? Is Adam West one of the characters?
No, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger may stop by. And
the kids love covering Schwarzenegger.
Well, that's the beauty is they'll have no idea. I get to do a silly voice, and they don't say, oh, he's just doing a stupid Arnold impression.
Yeah,
they'll think it's an original, magical thing that's happening.
Somebody film it.
Somebody
that's there.
Nobody. How dare you, sir. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. It's New Release Tuesday. Here's what you can pick up. Shangri-La by Jake Bug. That's Bug with 2 G's.
He's awesome, by the way. British singer-songwriter. This is his second record. And Rick Rubin produced this. You guys know the quality of work that Rick Rubin's behind.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Who would you compare him to if I had to try to put him in a category that I would have some reference for?
That's a great question.
Hanson?
I mean,
is he Hanson-esque?
No, I mean, he's just, he's a singer-songwriter.
Is he pop? Is he rock? Is he alternative?
How about John Mayer?
Yeah. That's in the ballpark.
All right. John Mayer.
Great call, Kevin. Yeah, in the ballpark of a John Mayer.
Yeah, maybe I'll check that out. The Best of Nickelback, Volume 1, also available today.
Don't get me started on that band.
No, you get the first volume of all those great Nickelback songs, and then you can just sit there and wait for Volume 2 and 3 and 4, and who knows how many volumes they'll have.
Which song is it that they do that is chock full of cliches? Is it Rockstar?
Yeah.
It's just one cliche after the next after the next. It's unbelievable.
It sounds like a parody of a rock song.
It's like they put every John Bon Jovi song into a blender and then just poured it out onto a disc.
Yes. Now, do you guys think that Nickelback is unfairly criticized? Like they can't possibly be as bad as people say? Because people do hold them up as the poster children for the worst rock band of all time. Is that fair?
Look, they're not horrible.
I don't think they're the worst of all time, no.
But they are sort of insipid and just, I think they represent a lot of artifice in rock and just people saying, ugh, that's just not genuine. You know?
That
they
one
do just
song
kind
hurts
of seem generic.
So much.
Not authentic.
All right, hang on here, Kevin. I'm bringing up the lyrics for a rock star.
Kevin's going to be exposed to a little rock star.
Don't
thanks
do
to
it.
Being.
I'm through with standing in line to the clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth, and I'm never going to win. This life hasn't turned out quite the way I want to be. I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs and a bathroom I can play baseball in and a king-size tub big enough for 10 plus me. I'll need a credit card that's got no limit and a big black jet with a bedroom in it. Going to join the Mile High Club at 37,000 feet. This is a terrible song, you guys. Because we all
take it to the chorus.
We all just want to be big rock stars living in hilltop houses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. We'll all stay skinny because we just won't eat.
Yeah.
And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger is going to wind up there. Every Playboy bunny with her bleach blonde hair.
Yeah.
And, well, hey, hey, I want to be a rock star, ladies and gentlemen. There you go.
By the way, I don't even think that's the cliche one. Is it? Do they do a Superman or something? They do one where it's like
Five for Fighting is a Superman song.
No,
it's another Nickelback song.
Yeah, it's a Nickelback song where they go.
Is it How You Remind Me? Maybe?
Don't wait to do tomorrow what you can do today, and it's just chock full of nothing but cliches.
Like a life coach song.
Yes,
One of those.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
I think we've spent way too much time.
We have. I apologize. My bad.
I think I'm a little backed up, as it were.
DVDs today, Two Guns with Denzel and Mark Wahlberg. You know you're cool when you can just go by one name. If I say Denzel, you know I'm talking about. Planes, the animated film from Disney with Dane Cook. He plays a plane who can't, scared of flying or something. They travel through time and then they stop Thanksgiving.
It's turkeys.
The World's End with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. We're the Millers, Jennifer Aniston and Jason Sudeikis in that comedy. Paranoia with Gary Oldman and Harrison Ford. Never got around to seeing that. I wanted to check it out. Two good actors.
Too.
The premise seemed a little dry, but I like those guys. The To-Do List with Aubrey Plaza. Very entertaining film. TV shows on DVD today. Tremé, the complete third season, and Lost Girl, also season three. Lost Girl is not to be confused with The New Girl, right? It's a different girl.
She's just lost, three seasons of Lost Girl?
Yeah, how about that? Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah! Why so soon?
Circle your calendars. November the 14th, 2014. We've got a release date. It is official.
So a year from now.
Yeah. Less than a year from now. It's only 360 days.
It's the 19th.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. We're there. We're almost there.
Oh,
hold on. Hold on,
one
people.
1 year.
So speaking of movies, they are going to create a sequel to It's a Wonderful Life. Of course, almost everyone. I bet even Kevin has seen this film.
I have seen this film.
It is a Christmas staple. You see it on
television. Why has Kevin seen a black and white movie from the 40s?
Because it's a Christmas classic.
It's on every year. It's classic. It's on.
It's impossible even for Kevin to avoid.
That's correct.
Jimmy Stewart, of course, plays George Bailey, who's depressed, goes to kill himself, but then his guardian angel shows him how his life affected people positively. How if it wasn't for him, a lot of people would have suffered. So he gets renewed enthusiasm about his life. The sequel, apparently, will have a twist.
Or he dies? As an alcoholic?
Wouldn't that be awesome? No, it's about his Bailey's unlikable grandson, who's shown off how much better the world would have been if he had never been born. Well, that sounds uplifting.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. You know, the world would be better if you were dead, don't you know?
I want you in that, too, in addition to the puppet show.
I would like to play the guardian angel as Edwin. here's the hook. I guess this is how they're going to get people interested in it. The cast will have the kids from the original film from 1946 playing roles in this version. For example, Zuzu, George Bailey's daughter, littlest girl in his family, will return. The actress who played her will return playing the angel who shows.
Has she been waiting for her phone to ring since 1946?
I'm telling you, I was in a very popular film, and I'm going to go back to movie making.
So she'll be working. Jimmy Hawkins and Carol Coombs, two actresses who also played Jimmy Stewart's kids, are going to reprise their roles as well. So looks like it'll be out Christmas 2015. So
2 years.
Everybody,
all right.
Everybody, hold on.
Let me mark my calendar here.
It's coming. And another day, another singing competition show on television.
Finally.
Show joins the ranks of American Idol and The Voice and The X Factor. ABC's picked up a show. It's called Rising Star. Big hit in Israel, of all places. Show was huge there. Pulled in almost 50%
of the viewing audience when it was on. One of every two television sets were tuned into Rising Star. Here's the hook. The audience votes for the winner in real time with an app while the show is being viewed. So that's, well, I guess, what the plan is with ABC. You'll watch the show, and instead of waiting till the show's over to call, like Ryan Seacrest tells you to with American Idol,
right,
you will have your smartphone there in your hand, and you will be voting with your app real time, and supposedly by the end of the episode, they'll know who the winner is. Because you just can't wait till the next day to find out. You need to know now.
Look, the American Idols and those that do the reveal on the second night, they pad for a full hour before they finally
That's
just
true. How
get
are they
the
going to milk this show if they don't drag out the results shows, right? This will be clean. So
I would watch a show like The Voice, which I think is very good.
Yeah, they do a good job, yeah.
If it weren't on so many hours a week. Last night it was on for 2 or 3 hours. I don't have that kind of time to commit to a show.
I hear you.
Things very busy.
We're talking about competition reality shows. Dancing with the Stars 17 is still going on. There are 6 couples remaining on that show. What do they have a show every 2 weeks? This show isn't on television enough. They got to burn through some dances.
The first Monday of every month, they have a new episode.
Like it or not. Apparently, Leah Remini was voted off last night. Everybody's very sad. Except for the Scientologists. They're happy.
Yeah.
She got what she deserved in their mind. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Legendary TV talk show host Larry King is 80 years old today.
Okay, you're amazing. Just cool it. Life is a breeze.
Yeah.
Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up to hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along.
How drunk were you at that point, Larry?
I just thought I'd pass that along.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Yeah. All right. Allison Janney. Talented actress can be seen on Mom now with Anna Faris, 54 years old today. Matt Sorum of Velvet Revolver turns 53. Meg Ryan, who's also going to be on television soon. She's 52 years old
today. Used to be so pretty.
She did. She was adorable. She was America's sweetheart. She was the, when I say Meg Ryan, people who aren't familiar with her work, you just think Sandra Bullock because that's how popular she was at one point.
Yep. Yep.
She's going to be on a new TV show called Celebrity Trainwrecks. Celebrity Face Trouble.
I think it's Celebrity Face Trouble.
She has overdone the plastic surgery is what I'm getting at. Jodie Foster's 51. Jeremy McGrath of King of Supercross himself is 42. And Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey is 37.
I hate him.
He is...
He's taking money out of my kids' mouths.
Yes.
Hey, you don't have kids.
And why would you put money in their mouths in the first place if you did have kids?
Why would they
I'm
eat
glad
money?
You don't have kids because you would be stuffing money into their mouths, and you shouldn't do that to children.
Now that you point it out, that would be a bad way to go.
Yeah. Jack Dorsey sent the very first tweet ever, which was, just setting up my Twitter. Deep, man.
Not very.
We learned a lot from that first tweet.
Isn't it weird? Maybe he just didn't expect it to go anywhere, but isn't it weird that he didn't put a little bit of thought?
Something profound or philosophical or something.
Even just, all right, we're here, or hey, this
Twitter
thing
has
works.
Landed, or
something. Yeah,
it's on anything.
I'm tweeting my way into your heart, baby.
I'm not sure that's it.
Anything. Should have tweeted, I'm putting money in my kids' mouths.
Like a dog looking at his food.
Oh, dog looking at his food. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin DeBean show. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have Bo Bachman in to talk about the L.A. Auto Show. We have Bear Grylls on the program talking about a TV show on Discovery called Escape from Hell.
That sounds like a good idea.
Where he seems to spend a lot of time. We have Jared Leto on the show tomorrow.
So dreamy.
Talking about the Dallas Buyers Club. And we have comedian Jay Moore on the program as well.
Wow.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin DeBean.